Sandy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are. Dan, is there a hook to this podcast?
Yeah, there is. I'm sick of the bullshit.
All right. I'm sick of hearing about Yui Bull.
I'm a little bit sick of that, too. No.
Blood Rain?
Fine.
Cinematic classic.
Fine.
Cinematic classic.
You know a lot about Blood Rain. I don't know anything about Blood Rain.
I don't know anything about Blood Rain either.
I know a lot about Alex Jones.
I don't know anything about Alex Jones.
And that is the subject of the show. That's the fun of the show. Today we got a really interesting...
Is it, though?
I think it's fun. People seem to enjoy it.
I think it's part of the fun.
It's... I don't know what's fun about this. I mean, I know it's fun for me, but...
Bone mows like that, Dan.
Look out for a couple of portmanteaus coming later.
Coming soon.
We'll see if that happens.
To a theater near you.
So, before we get going on today's show, I'd like to give a shout-out to a new donor. What's going on out there, Rebecca?
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you so much.
Oh, shit.
We appreciate you joining up the show. Congratulations on being a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Rebecca Rose Rushmore, which is a deep cut for anybody who likes the Thrilling Adventure Hour.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. If you'd like to be a policy wonk, much like Rebecca, you can do so by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, and clicking the button that says support the show. We'd really appreciate it, because, you know... We would.
All right.
I don't know.
All right. This is why we're where we are. We're the worst at sales pitches.
I got nothing. I got no sales skills.
We really appreciate because Dan couldn't survive without it. Let's just put it that way.
It's true. And we're probably $100, maybe $150 a month away from like legitimate comfort or like survival level.
Oh,
comfort.
Yeah. We can't do that.
Yeah. So that's where we're at. And if you haven't donated to the show and you enjoy it and you'd like to, we can get there. We can get there. It's within.
Absolutely.
It's within reach, without having to sell out. We can't sell out anyway.
No, we'd be.
one's asking us to sell out.
No, not at all.
Anyway, before we spin further down this.
Yeah, Coca-Cola doesn't really want to jump on the Jordan's a big fan of white genocide boat.
Right. Dan's obsessed with a creepy asshole and Jordan wants to kill white people. So Jordan, today we are
brought to you by Squarespace, I guess.
I imagine, Talkspace doesn't want to sponsor us seeing as we're insane.
Talkspace wants to have us join them.
We need to be, clients.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only reason we would be we would accept Talkspace as a sponsor, but only if they just gave us free therapy.
That's got to be a piece of it. You got to get a little bit of taste.
Yeah,
if you
absolutely.
Work at McDonald's, you get a free lunch. You know?
Is that all you get? Oh.
I don't know.
Oh.
Anyway, Jordan, today we are going to be going over the thing which everyone probably guesses that we would be going over, and that is Tuesday. Alex Jones did his landmark press conference from Washington, D.C. He went down to the swamp to confront these globalists.
Got
to
do it.
Spoiler alert, the press conference itself was a disaster, and not a good disaster, like not a fun, entertaining disaster. It was just the way I tweeted this out, and I stand by it. The press conference was the equivalent of a comic who can't get on Comedy Central, can't get booked, so they book out a small theater and make their own special.
Ah.
It's basically like no one wants you, no one wants you, but you'll make it look like they do. So he rents out a room in the National Press Club and then just does his normal bits. So he does hey, YouTube should let me stay on it.
Two firemen are butt fucking in a smoke filled room.
More or less.
Yeah.
More or less. And so we have a couple clips of that and then something that is way more important.
Also, rest in peace, John Fox.
Mm-hmm. To the cross here.
Yeah.
So we got a couple clips of the actual press conference that no one's talking about that I think are important.
Uh-huh.
Because if you want coverage of the rest of the press conference, go watch.
Yeah, go.
Go listen to any of our episodes. You'll hear him saying the same shit. Or go look at Right Wing Watch. They covered the standard stuff.
Uh-huh.
I'm not shitting on them, but, you know, they covered the stuff that you wouldn't pick up on necessarily unless you knew too much, which I do.
There you go.
So here's the first thing, and this is a sort of an out-of-context drop, but I think this is the most offensive thing that he says in the entire press conference.
That's the total control. Google is gone. It's a worthless search engine now. It's crazy. You go to Bing and others. It's Microsoft. They're still fair. They show a mix of things.
Fuck you. Telling us to Bing it? Don't tell us to use Bing.
What's Bing's market share at this point, Dan?
Almost nothing. Imagine.
Do they have like two guys working on it?
I use AltaVista.
Microsoft definitely has to know, like, we're never going to compete on that front.
Yeah.
We might as well just have it in case Google's office gets exploded by a meteor.
In case.
Yeah.
Let's stay around on the off chance.
Right. That something happens. Nah. It's not a bad idea.
The other thing I'm seeing this in the chat, and this is like the big story that you see on the headlines about his press conference. He went over and groped the American flag. And that is because someone asked him about his connections to Russia, and then he started screaming about how he's Americana, and he sees a flag, and he goes over and starts kissing it. It was
okay,
but it was deflectionary. Now, it was
now, according to the Uniform Code, I believe that is a violation, right? Like, isn't that something that technically is prosecutable?
It's grosser than letting it touch the ground. That's
yeah.
for sure.
Well, kneeling during the national anthem is, of course, the worst thing that anybody can do, and they should never be given a job.
Sure,
but. Essentially fucking a flag, that's totally fine.
Totally fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't have any feelings on it whatsoever, except for that the guy was trying to ask a very legitimate question that is, like, Alex, you have been appearing on Russian television, you keep reposting without permission stories from RT.
Right.
All of your narratives seem to be Putin
right.
Approved and Putin apologetic narratives.
Yep.
Roger Stone supportive narratives. Roger Stone, your story doesn't really make sense. Lee Stranahan, this other guy who's there, you literally work for Sputnik. You have to understand why people are asking questions about
right.
this. And then Alex starts screaming.
And then we also tested a, novelty, one of those novelty tiny flags, and, you Bill Clinton'd all over it. That's
oh,
all
boy.
I'm saying.
Oh boy.
Dry cleaners can't take care of that flag.
So, I have a theory. I think that the press conference that he did was mostly, it was sort of a desperation move because he doesn't say anything he doesn't say normally. He just wanted to make a big splash out of it. But I think that he might be trying to bait Soros into suing him. I think that might have been one of the lead objectives of him going to do this press conference. And in this clip, he's just had, Leanne McAdoo come up and, talk for a little while. And she does this like, I'm afraid of public.
Is she the opening comic?
No, Jack Posobiec was the opening comic.
He was the opener?
There's a murderer's row of losers on this
really?
Fucking show. Yes.
I thought it would just be Alex.
No.
Did he have somebody else do in the fourth hour? What's going on here?
This press conference was Jack Posobiec. It was, Leanne McAdoo, Millie Weaver, Jerome Corsi.
Rainbow Snatch was in the press room?
She was.
Okay.
You had Jerome Corsi. You had Lee Stranahan. You had,
Mike Shanahan.
Why not? Mike Shanahan.
Throw them all in!
The old, Cardinals announcer.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was drunk. Everyone was drunk. Spoiler alert.
Shannon Elizabeth.
So he has Leanne.
Is that a person?
Yeah, I think she was a movie star, right?
Oh, okay.
So you have Leanne McAdoo up there, and I don't know if she's actually afraid of public speaking or anything like that. None of her behavior on the show or her live reports where she goes out and talks to people on the street would indicate that she has a fear of public speaking.
Right.
But she really hams it up of like, I don't know, I'm afraid of addressing crowds, but I'm here. And I think there's a little bit of it that's trying to make a feeble victim out of her
right.
that Alex can then
right,
use
right,
as
right.
a prop.
And then if anybody attacks her, it turns into like, how could you dare attack this beautiful young woman?
Which is exactly where this clip starts.
Great.
Sweet Leanne McAdoo. Look at this. Come here. Look at this. Seriously.
Oh, no,
about
I don't
bully.
Like
Come
any
back
of that.
Over here.
No.
Because Soros is funding that whole board, that whole deal. What do you want to say to the Nazi collaborator? I mean, he's targeting you already. You want to say something to him?
It's frightening. I mean, this is really scary, the precedent that's being set here, or at least attempting to be set.
Also, really, really sorry about this. The sound is terrible, and it's because none of them have mic technique.
Right.
So there's going to be...
You got to eat the mic.
There's going to be some stuff that's a little bit lower than you want it to be. I'm just going to have to deal with it.
All right. Jeez, you don't have to get so aggressive at me.
I'm apologizing.
You
dick.
You have to look into the camera and go... And that's what I'm guilty of? I mean, that's crazy. Mm. That
Blink
is a
twice.
Bizarre... sentiment. And I think
But if you tell George Soros that he was a war hero and was secretly Captain America and that he killed Hitler, tell him, you killed Hitler and he'll stop suing you.
Well, he's literally on video talking about, you know, how happy he was for his, you know, past, his childhood. But the mainstream press says that you are a liar for saying that about him. So
well, because he's lying about it.
They will literally have videos of George Soros, you know, saying how happy he was.
Captain America!
But that's a lie versus actually not having video of Alex Jones saying things and they just kind of make it all up.
We
so,
got it.
I don't know. Yeah. Where is the real fake news?
Great job, Leah. There you go. Talking about Soros. Seriously. So I want to say this. I apologize to George Soros.
Oh.
He actually went in on the D-Day invasion of Normandy.
Oh, you're being sarcastic.
Oh, no.
I'm telling you, he is a superhero, not a supervillain.
He's got to figure out tone of voice.
James Bond movie villains after him. Actually, they admitted two James Bond villains ago was actually based on Soros and its Quantum Group, but that's okay. I want to kneel to Soros and say, Your Lordship, you are a hero that killed Hitler. There. They'll probably put that out. Anderson Cooper. Jones admits tonight that it was actually George Soros. And here's hidden film footage the OSS had from World War II as he fights 400 SS officers who had actually turned into werewolves and then severs the head of Adolf Hitler.
Great
so,
movie.
That's the truth. Soros killed Hitler. So, hail Soros. Now let's get serious.
All right, let's. This is him doing a press conference. Like, there's no part of this that is, like, you would expect professionalism. And to be fair, he does have his lawyer speak for a little while, and he is sort of professional. But you would expect, like,
As Alex Jones's lawyer, none of this is admissible, and I do not want anyone to know what has happened here.
Don't snitch.
I have advised my client not to do this, not to be doing this, and eventually I will advise him not to have done this, which is not possible.
The Lord knows the media is not covering this.
Yeah, of course not.
I think I can.
If Alex says the media will cover this, they're not going to, because it's clearly stupid.
Very.
The media is going to cover the horribly offensive bullshit that you say.
And even
because
that,
it's horribly offensive and it's bullshit.
And even that, not really, because most of the articles are about him groping the flag and shit like that.
You fuck a flag, you get what you get.
But it's reasonably innocuous compared to what we're going to be talking about after we discuss the press conference pieces that we have. Because it's way more important, and no one that I've seen has been talking about this, which is really what everyone should be talking about. But before we get to that, we get an appearance from Roger Stone. Alex.
Wait, what? Roger Stone should have left the country by now.
He's there.
Does he not hear the fucking bells a ringing?
He's standing up and fighting. He's gonna be there.
No!
He's
Tijuana!
Dude,
now!
Don't be a fucking idiot. He's got a deal already.
You think so?
He's the sleaziest player in the game!
I know, but come on.
He's the Ric Flair of InfoWars. He's a dirty, cheating asshole. Like, he's a political dirty dude. So, like, of course he's like, I know what I did. I know what they can find out I did. I'm gonna go ahead and get a little bit, protection. And that's why that
I don't know, he's acting like he hasn't gotten that deal.
I don't know.
At least some of the interviews where he's like, "Nah, I was bullshitting about talking to Guccifer 2.0 and all that shit."
I think that's trying to maintain alt-right credibility. And then
Well, you got to get that.
But then also I think it's what we talk about all the time, him living his best life.
That's true.
Cuz he kind of also I think wants to fuck with people.
That fits perfectly with what we know about.
Because otherwise, you're right. He should be out of the country.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But he's not. He's in Washington, D.C. for this fucking stupid press conference. And one thing that I think is really awesome is that Alex is so distracted that he doesn't realize that he brings up Roger Stone twice.
He brings up Roger Stone, sends him away, brings him back up.
Well, after like two other speakers or so, he brings him back. Hey,
Roger's got to do another 15 minutes. Let me tell you something about this guy.
And speaking of which, he gets up there and he does a bit.
I am such an aficionado of Nixon that, yes, it's true. I have a tattoo on my back about the size of a grapefruit, which is a daily reminder that in life, when things don't go your way, when you get knocked down, when you don't succeed, when you lose, well, you have
resign.
An obligation to get back up. It's a story of resiliency. It's a story of persistence. It's an American story.
Wait.
It also makes me the only person you know with a dick on the front and the back.
Boo! Boo!
You heard a couple laughs. You heard a couple laughs. One of them, Alex, really loud.
Oh,
in the back.
Yeah.
He's like the guy who's like the friend who's there along at the show laughing overly. Good bit, Roger. Good bit.
Right. Hey, you got him. You got him with that bit.
You still got it, Stone.
Like, go into a Pablo Francisco show.
And that fucking joke is, like, that's his standard joke. He makes that a lot. But, like...
Oh, of course.
But that's his...
That's his Reagan joke. Reagan made the same joke, like, a million times in his 8 years.
Yeah. That's his one. And also, that is his moment. Like, we were talking about this on the Andrew Breitbart episode about Larry Sinclair. The guy who claimed to have blown Obama in the back of a limo after doing crack cocaine with him.
Right.
That guy also rented out the press club and gave a press conference that went way off the rails.
Okay, today?
No.
Because that would be fun.
No, back when he was making the accusations, like in 08 or whatever.
Uh-huh.
What
a good year.
Well, his lawyer, if you'll recall, was wearing a kilt. And someone asked Someone asked him, why are you wearing a kilt? And he was
So I can blow him on short notice.
No, his lawyer. Who had been disbarred previous to this.
Of course.
But his lawyer explained that pants were fine for some people who don't have large dicks. In the press club during a press conference.
Now, I'm kind of a fan of that.
It's ridiculous. But at the same time, like, that's Roger's moment like that. That's when you know your press conference sucks, is when someone starts dick talk in the middle of it.
It's almost like a comedy magician where it's like, we're going to throw all these sleight of hand techniques at you. But if we toss a dick joke in every now and again, you're going to forget that I'm shitty at both.
Right. You'll be surprised though. And I will say, ta-da.
Yeah, exactly. There we go.
So this next clip, is a question from someone in the audience.
I give myself -1 for that.
I agree with that.
Yep. Apologies.
This next clip is someone, in the audience asking a question. And I don't think you'll understand what he's talking about. I don't think most people did, but I do, cause I'm crazy.
Please come to mic and tell folks what you're talking about.
Ole Damegaard is an internationally recognized author and historian. He's an expert on political assassinations, and he appeared on my show, Crowdsource the Truth, on YouTube, and he presented a document. He presented a document that was given to him by a contact of his within the Department of Homeland Security that indicated that a permit was applied for the March for Our Lives prior to the shooting. And he said this is a smoking gun that indicates that something happened there that differs from what we've been told. The video received an anonymous strike from people who think they've got First Amendment rights as anonymous avatars on the internet. We don't even know if that's a person. That could be an artificial intelligence entity.
Uh-huh.
That could be someone operating out of a country that is not protected by the Constitution of the United States. And it denies
all of them not the United States.
My constitutional rights to face my accuser and know what I'm being accused of. Thank you for letting me speak, Alex.
Well, I'm familiar with that gentleman's name, but I want to look that up. That is powerful information. Go ahead, ma'am. You had something?
So, that's powerful information. Alex knows that name.
It was more of a plug, really.
Yeah, it was kind of a plug.
Yeah.
I too know that name, Ole Damegaard. You know
how, I just heard Dan Magard.
Ole Damegaard.
Okay.
You know how I know that name?
Cause he holds the Axe of Damascus?
He's a frequent guest on Project Camelot.
No shit!
Yeah.
I love it.
He's Kerry Cassidy's go-to false flag guy.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love it.
Which is one of the reasons we haven't listened to episodes that have him on it on Project Camelot, cause they are not fun. They're this false flag bullshit.
Yeah.
But they are as crazy and as stupid as her, Mark Richards episodes.
Right.
Certainly.
Just depressing and dumb.
Just not fun and more like, oh, you're making up all this shit.
Yeah.
You have sources who tell you all this nonsense.
Ah, he's got a source in Homeland Security?
So what I want to say is, first of all, this is all bullshit.
Yeah.
But second, it's crazy to me that this is a really interesting illustration of just how close Project Camelot world and Alex Jones world really are. They are not that far apart.
Yeah.
You have a guy who was interviewing Ole Damegaard on his YouTube show.
Say that name 30 more times.
Ole Damegaard.
Where do these people fucking come from?
I think he's from Europe somewhere.
He's not protected by the United States Constitution.
He might be from Denmark. I'm not entirely sure.
That's not even a real place.
Yeah. He goes on all kinds of like YouTube conspiracy shows that are just like weird people with a webcam.
Okay. Do you mean essentially us, but stupid?
We don't put things out on YouTube all that often.
That's true.
To be fair, I think our webcams are better than most of the people I've seen.
That's a fair point.
They mostly use the built-in cams.
Ooh, that's not a good idea.
So like, I don't know, man. I don't know what further point I have on this other than it's fascinating to me to see that name come up. And like, I feel like the any press that's covering this should be like, oh my God, this guy, look at this connection. But no one does. No one cares. I'm the only person who's excited when I almost did a fucking spit take of water when I was watching this, like, Ole Damgaard.
Really?
Yeah.
That's bananas.
Well, I just don't expect to see these worlds intersect like this.
I know, but I mean, there's no way anybody in the actual press would be like, oh, well, Ole Damgaard, of course, is the... Because what? What?
Well, it's because Alex, the only reason I'm interested is because Alex called it powerful information.
Also, who's it? Crowdsource the Truth is what this guy is from?
This is a YouTube show.
Where? Why?
Well, because Alex got to control who got in.
Gotcha.
And, he did not let in a lot of, you know what? Here's my theory. Uh-huh. No one asked. Because... There is a guy from Right Wing Watch there.
Okay.
And he got in.
And he was super excited.
And then, the other people who were there were people like Mothers for Trump and Trump Talk, a podcast called Trump Talk. Oh, by the way,
are also Mothers for Drunk Driving.
I went to the Mothers for Trump website and they have like a issues, button you can press and it links to Donald Trump, DonaldJTrump.com, his positions page.
Okay.
And it's interesting that if you click that link, it says 404 page not found. So that's inspiring.
Mothers for Trump obviously don't really know how to use the web. Let's be honest about that.
They got a nice country jam that plays automatically if you go to their website too.
Really?
It's very disappointing.
Really?
Yeah. So, Jordan, this is the end of what I want to talk about in terms of the press conference, because the rest of it, it's just nothing. And they redo it.
Wait, what?
So, Alex did his show, and he's sort of just, it's not a very interesting show, but immediately after the show, he did a free-for-all question and answer thing at the Mayweather Hotel.
They
rented out the ballroom.
I thought you were about to say the Marriott, and I was like, no. That sounds right for where he's staying.
They basically just redid the press conference where they just had the exact same crew of people, minus Leanne McAdoo, come up and give slightly different speeches.
Uh-huh.
And it's important to notice what the differences are. They know that at this place, not many watchful eyes. They're in front of a friendly audience.
Uh-huh.
And so it turns into essentially...
So they lower their guard a little hand.
It turns into a white nationalist Nazi rally.
I totally saw that coming.
Yeah, of course. But no one's talking about this. Alex Jones had this big Q&A session, which is available on his fucking YouTube channel. And if you go and listen to it, there is consistent... really troubling things that are being said by people, a couple of them even prefacing them by saying, earlier we were in front of the press, but now I know we're all friends. Which is not great.
Not a thing you want to hear any white person say ever.
No.
There's never been a situation where I've heard, like after a show, if some dude is like, hey, let me tell you something, that automatically means you're about to hear a racist joke.
Hey, bro, you're cool.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So
you're white. We're on the same team. You want to hear me say the N-word a few times? No.
I'm making a little bit of a harsh declaration up top, and I hope it will be borne out by the clips that we listen to. So suspend belief in me until we get through this.
Sure.
I stand by what I'm saying, but before we get to that, here's 3 minutes of before the press conference, where Alex Jones, thinks Jordan Klepper is trying to get into the question and answer session.
Okay.
It hasn't started yet, and Alex is clearly drunk.
Wait, so he thinks that outside, Jordan Klepper is just like fighting to get in them doors.
He's talking to a guy that is not on camera that might be Jordan Klepper, but I don't know that it is.
Okay.
He wants everyone to think that it is.
Uh-huh.
And I'm willing to believe that it is.
I doubt it.
But I have no proof.
Okay.
I can't say one way or another, but this is Alex very clearly drunk talking to someone who he does not want in on this question and answer.
All right, here you go. Outside, sit in the doctor. Good. And eat your cheese. Have your brain for us, but a little while. We'll let Jeffrey choose the rack. The condescending, you know, comic tells us as a journalist, we will allow the teleprompter reader to enter in the moment. You are a childhood nightmare. You see the anatomic rack alive in my face. Chuck E. Cheese the rat. Chuck E. Cheese the rat. Chuck E. Cheese the rat. So we just ask you to respect our first schedule, allow me to have the shirt blocking, get shirt blocking, be serious big boy stuff. And then Chuck E. Cheese the Rat, we're done, and kind of sneak back in. Okay. Chuck E. Cheese the Rat. Bye-bye, Chuck E. Cheese the Rat.
That's not a good chant.
Time to go.
Bye, Chuck E. Cheese. Bye-bye, Rat. Bye-bye, Rat. I hear that you meditate and you work in a private organization. Chuck E. Cheese the Rat.
Sure.
We need rat control.
It's called pest control.
You're in a private hotel, Chuck E. Cheese. You're in our office. You're in our area. We run the desk. And you're here to start things. No, that's different.
This goes on for like another 4 minutes.
Of course.
It's just him yelling Chuck E. Cheese the Rat over and over again.
It was fun at first.
It was. I thought
the chanting part, that was great. That's a solid move. And then, of course, Alex does his traditional drunk thing, which is to murder a dead horse as much as you possibly can.
Undoubtedly.
Like, he got one little positive reinforcement, and he's like, this is going to last forever.
He tries to get the chant going again. It kind of worked the first time, but then it does not work the second time.
No. And then he changes the chant mid-chant, which is a bad idea.
Yeah, and so you might be asking, why the fuck did he keep screaming Chuck E. Cheese the Rat? It's kind of a weird thing to yell.
Now, I didn't make out a lot of that.
It was mostly him saying Chuck E. Cheese the Rat.
Well, I mean, early on, I heard him say brain force.
Yeah, he said, take your brain force.
All right.
He was just doing a plug.
That's
just doing a plug
at a fucking hotel ballroom to nobody. He's doing a little plug.
A couple of these people do plugs.
Uh huh.
It's interesting.
So now he's a teleprompter reader. He's accusing Jordan Klepper of being a teleprompter reader. That's what I heard.
Yes, because that's what he always does.
And then later on, what is ostensibly Jordan Klepper says, "I am allowed to accuse anybody of anything I want.
I have free speech or whatever." But that doesn't sound like Jordan. Like,
no,
I don't,
that's a very bad thing to say.
No, I mean the voice doesn't sound like him.
Oh,
that didn't sound
his
voice.
I think the content is more like that's bad.
No,
isn't he supposed to be?
He's supposed to be a prank. He's a comedian.
Yeah. Isn't he supposed to come up with better shit than that?
Yeah, he absolutely would have, and he would have sent Tim Baltz. Or something like that. He would have sent one of these other people who Alex doesn't know who they are.
Right.
So anyway, be that as it may, Chuck E. Cheese the Rat is very confusing. Because I don't understand what that means.
Completely. I heard he said radioactive rat or something, and then he went to Chuck E. Cheese?
I don't think he did.
Does he
might have.
Chuck E. Cheese is...
Yeah, anyway, that's a...
It's like a mutated
it's like
rat?
It's a Ninja Turtle situation.
Yep.
So Alex,
sounds right.
Finally, about 5 or 6 minutes into this video that he posted, finally, Rob Dew is like, do you want a mic? And then this is what happens.
Alex, if you want a mic.
Let's get ready to rumble!
That's illegal.
Yeah, that's copyright infringement.
Michael Buffer is gonna sue you.
We found a Comedy Central rat in here.
Don't worry, we dealt with it. I just turned my mic down. That's good. I'm too loud.
Tad.
All right, everybody. We'll get Roger Stone up here in a little while. Everybody, let's chill out. Let Roger sit down.
I want to just, before we get to this, I want just the premise to be clear. He announced this as a, like, 2-hour question and answer session. And it is not that in any way.
Does he get to the calls?
There's no calls.
There's no calls?
No calls.
So then it's a great situation.
I would guess the turnout is something to the tune of 50, in this ballroom. It's respectable, but based on his pretenses about his audience, you would think the room would be overswelling. It's not.
You would hope.
It's very modest in turnout.
I don't judge.
And like I said, he just redoes the press conference. He just has all the same people come and give speeches, and then at the end gets to some questions. And it's unfortunate that he does, because one of these questions that gets asked is one of the most crazy things I've ever heard on InfoWars, which is a big, big pronouncement. It will blow your mind.
Okay.
It will absolutely blow your mind.
Okay.
But we have to go through a little bit of bullshit to get there. It'll be fun bullshit. Anyway, here's Chuck E. Cheese the Rat.
We had, what's that guy's name from the failed Comedy Central? What's that guy's name? Kobe. What is it, Kobe?
He's thinking of Colbert.
Kobe, Chuck E. Cheese, the rat bastard. So what they want to do is talk to us and make us look like idiots and then edit it all out of context and tell a bunch of lies about us. So all they get from me is Chuck E. Cheese, the rat, which will be his new meme. It will be what he's known as 50 years from now when he goes on to Valhalla. He doesn't understand me.
Okay.
Just like Trump, you know, lying Ted Cruz or crooked Hillary. Here's the thing. For a moniker, for a nickname, it's got to actually fit the bill.
So he's
going to
die in battle?
And let me tell you something. Who doesn't think Comedy Central and all those anti-American pseudo-intellectual scumbags don't look and act like a bunch of goddamn globalist rats? What do you think?
That was not a big cheer. What does a globalist rat look like?
Splinter?
Jews.
Oh.
So let's give them a clip when they try to cut all this together on Comedy Central. Chuck E. Cheese the rat, go home. Crawl back in your hole, Chuck E. Cheese the rat bastard.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
That was great.
The reason that I...
Some solid work right there.
The reason that I paused where I did and said that is if globalism is what you're against and it's a philosophy of trying to undermine nationalism and national sovereignty in order to sell out to multinational corporations and what have you, and that's what you're really mad about, that doesn't have a physical component to it. If you're talking about why do these people look like globalists, generally speaking, that means that you are talking about something that is something about their appearance.
Or it could just be that they wax their mustaches.
Yeah, it could be. All right. Fine.
Yeah. We'll give him some, is he really, does he think that the globalists look like hipsters? Is that what he's thinking?
I mean, it could be. It could be. I don't
No,
think
it's
so.
Not. It's definitely anybody who looks not as white as Alex.
Yeah. So, in this next clip, I'm going to just skip over it, I think, because it's not that great. He minimizes, Cambridge Analytica and just sort of rambles about how, like, all they're doing is taking information. So what?
Oh boy, remember when you railed against the Patriot Act?
He's like, he's like, all they're doing is scraping accounts for data. It's not data mining. Like,
isn't that what mining is?
A little bit.
Isn't the mining just scraping the ground for shit?
And he's not taking into account what the actual thing they did was. Where they encroached on other people's accounts through accounts that they had gained access to.
Right. Like, or blackmailed and honeypotted the shit out of a bunch of people.
That's a whole other thing. That's another wing of their operations. But in terms of the like data collection stuff, a lot of it was gaining access to person A's account And then by accessing that, they were able to get information from a bunch of all of their friends' accounts.
Yeah.
Now, be that as it
That's why 2 billion accounts information were stolen when Facebook said at the beginning, it was like,
right.
It was only a few hundred thousand or million or whatever.
Right. And he also tries to bring in like an idea that people think that it was identity theft and all it is taking information. No one thinks it's identity theft. That was never a claim that people are making.
Right.
So anyway, he runs out
of... But at the same time, like, that's the whole thing that Snowden pointed out, is that so much metadata can be used to influence a ton of shit. Like, it's disgusting how much data we actually put out there.
And it's weird what you can learn from things that you don't think actually says all that much about
it. Right. Well, not just that, but, I mean, you get just a bare amount of information from somebody, and you know how terrible people are at remembering passwords, or like those,
boy.
Or like the question, oh, I forgot my password. What's your mother's maiden name? You can go in and you can find that shit. Like,
yeah.
It's easier to do than anybody wants to imagine.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, Alex runs out of steam really quick on this, and then he just brings up Roger Stone.
That's why my mother's maiden name is Papadopoulos.
Ooh, that's
it's the same guy.
Tough to spell.
Yep.
So he brings up Roger Stone, and Roger's is sort of like, free speech, woo. He has a very uninspired little bit. He does a bad bit. Doesn't redo.
He's done a lot of bad bits so far.
He doesn't redo the dick on the front and the back bit on this. But then he gets off. He's generous with his time. He only does a tight 5 or so. And then Alex comes back up, and then he says this. That's super fucking weird.
Trump is crushing communist China, crushing Russia, crushing the EU, crushing the corrupt Vatican, crushing radical Islam. And the media and this whole swamp here in D.C.
Give 2 examples, Al.
That sat there and said that, you know, he was sold out to foreign interests. That's because they're globalists. That means they take over your country and they sell out your resources. Quite frankly, Trump is so nationalistic, so America first, that it's
he's
going to
join the TPP.
Go to the other side of the equation. The claims that he is trying to screw the country over are 1,000% pure absolute crap.
You'll notice, first of all, no applause after that. I think most people in the audience are staring at him like, boy.
This drunk guy
is yelling at us.
We support. This is just like when he did stand up.
Yeah.
This is just like whenever, this is the same thing.
Well, because I think back when he did stand up, he saw Stanhope do it and he was like, I can do this.
Right.
And so he tried and this is his attempt to do a Trump style rally.
Yeah.
And it is not, like, people aren't like, woo! There's a couple people every now and again that'll applaud certain things and what have you, but like, it's not a raucous affair.
And even they probably are like, it's not 1,000%.
Right.
At most, he's like 40%.
The more important thing too, though, is that in that clip, he's saying that he's now concerned that Trump is going too far in the other direction.
Sure.
Which, what is that, Alex? What is that? Too far with nationalism?
What? I can't think of anybody who's ever gone too far with nationalism.
What happens when people go too far with nationalism?
I can't think of any example of anyone going too far with nationalism. Dan?
I would say...
Name 18 different examples of somebody going too far with nationalism.
I would say most of the bad things internationally that have ever happened have been the result of someone going too far with nationalism. Jesus. So he even says that, but he doesn't really expound on it. It's just sort of a toss-away thing, because I think he's drunk, but anyway.
And everybody knows it, and everybody can see it. And he's trying everything he can to boost wages, bring jobs back to the inner city, on record. And that's why the elites that thought they had this country are going completely crazy. And it's why they have sued me 13 times
last year.
And most of those lawsuits, it's only a few in the first year. Most of those, 7 or 8 of those the last 3 months. And it's Georgetown Law, funded by George Soros.
No, it's not.
Sorostown Law.
No, it's not. It's a guy named Brendan Gilmore. Not just because he's getting help from the Georgetown Law School, Civil Rights School.
Anytime he feels like he has to specifically point out inner cities, all he's really saying is,
blacks.
Why don't black people support him?
Blacks, get on board.
Yeah, come on, black people.
That's what actually surprises me, that he didn't have Diamond and Silk at his event. Like, why not? You're going all out for this. You got a bunch of other Trump weirdos.
Right.
Why not? Why are all of your people still white? You know what I mean? Like, why is it, like, you're trying to do this thing, there's optics involved, why don't you at least get some of the creeps?
Right.
Some of the diverse creeps. They're all creeps on his team, but at least there are a couple who, like, you would add, diversity. You would shield yourself from the attack of, like, huh, Millie Weaver, Rob Dew, Alex Jones, Roger Stone, Jerome Corsi, Lee Stranahan, Lucian Wintrick, all whites.
Lucian Wintrick is the whitest name I've ever heard in my entire life.
He doesn't deserve to be spoken about on this show. I don't know. It's weird. Anyway,
you could have at least gotten Jakari Jackson to run down the aisle and hit him with a chair.
Oh, I never told you about this.
What?
I bought Jakari Jackson's comic book.
Is it good?
While you were out of town.
Yeah?
It's fine.
Oh.
It's not about Alex at all.
I would have loved to discover that he is a tremendous talent.
It's very cute. It's about like a young child who doesn't apply himself well because he's too busy daydreaming. It's not the
description of white nationalism?
Well, nope. The description
he's too busy daydreaming of a segregated society.
The description that we read of it led us to believe that possibly this was about like some sort of projection about Alex.
Yeah.
It's absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
It's just very cute.
Oh.
Anyway, this next clip isn't very cute.
It is all of it. You know, earlier today I had Right Wing Watch, fun about People of the American Way, whose main donor is George Soros. That's in the federal filings. And the guy played dumb and said, I don't want to discuss that. I don't want to get into it. Then the other guy from a Soros-connected group.
Real quick, like, let's take a step back and consider all of the people that he has on the show who have connections to Koch brothers-related think tanks. Or he still talks to Monckton, Lord Monckton, who works for a think tank that's funded by ExxonMobil.
Right.
So, like, this is all nonsense.
Looked at me and said, oh, I don't know anything about Soros. I don't want to discuss that. But you say Soros overthrew countries. Didn't know I could rattle off seven of them.
All former communist states?
I mean, they think.
Under authoritarian rule.
Pseudo-intellectual, fake leftist audience that buys whatever they say and thinks that we're just buying into all this pseudo-intellectual stuff. We're not doing that.
Burp.
We've done our homework. We know what we're talking about. And that's why they're crapping their britches. And see, I'm not a leftist sneak attack artist. Mm-hmm. I sit here and tell them what I've got in my guns politically. Before I invite them up to the microphone. You want to come up here later, I will pull it up for you, show you the federal filings of George Soros funding you.
Oh, I bet he does.
He doesn't.
Oh.
He also says that, like, Chuck E. Cheese the Rat, who ostensibly is Jordan Klepper, can come on mic. He doesn't allow
is
that.
Is Chuck E. Cheese a rat? I feel like he's a mouse, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
There's a thin line.
That man right there is funded by George Soros, the oldest living top Nazi collaborator in the world. Who is sworn to destroy nation sovereignty, sworn to bring in incredible tyranny, and he is financing the lawsuit against us through Georgetown law that they filed, which attempts to overturn the First Amendment.
First of all, there's literally zero chance that a civil lawsuit could overturn an amendment to the Constitution.
Pretty sure it could.
It's completely absurd, cockamamie nonsense.
Happens all the time. A lot of civil court rulings wind up overturning amendments.
Secondly, if you allow for what Alex believes about George Soros to be true, if you allow that, which it's not, but if you believe that he helped round up Jews as a 15-year-old, that's still not a top-level Nazi collaborator. That is ridiculous.
A lot of 15-year-olds were in Hitler's inner circle.
Absolutely.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah, absolutely.
George Soros
stopped Operation Valkyrie. When he was 12.
He killed Tom Cruise.
When he was 12. That's ridiculous nonsense.
The thing that I always glom onto is how much he absolutely despises leftists. They're the liberal. And then at the same time is super mad at fake leftists.
What do you mean?
And I don't understand how that could possibly work.
What do you mean by that?
Well, like earlier he just said, he's like, all these people, the fake leftists who are financing all of this shit is like, Well, why not just call them regular leftists if you hate leftists so much?
Why are you concerned with the purity of their leftism?
I don't understand.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying
no.
Him.
I know. Yeah. That's what's confusing to me.
Well,
he calls himself a classical liberal, which makes no sense.
No.
And then he hates regular liberals, which makes no sense either. And then he hates leftists, but he also hates fake leftists. And he's
just angry.
What other than white nationalism does he love?
He's just angry, dude. That's it. He's probably angry at some white people too, but he just sucks it up, keeps a stiff upper lip.
Ugh.
The other thing that I think is really fucked up in that clip is, I mean, I know it's a small crowd, but at the same time, you still have a guy who's yelling at the podium, "This guy works for a Nazi collaborator." That's
furthermore,
really fucked up.
Furthermore, 94-year-old Oscar Groening,
still
escaped
alive?
Nazi collaborator.
Oh,
Nazi collaborator. Simon Wiesenthal, escaped Nazi collaborator. Rasmussen, escaped Nazi collaborator. All of these people
there's a ton.
Are older than George Soros, and they did the murders.
Yeah, they were much more of collaborators.
Yeah.
So I know that I already said this, but it bears repeating. He's pointing out someone in the crowd who is a journalist and is being like, "This guy works for a Nazi. This guy works for George Soros." And in a much larger audience with a more charismatic person at the helm than
Alex.
Do you
mean like when Trump did the exact same thing?
Exactly. You could turn that into something very dangerous.
Yeah.
That mentality of like pointing out this guy, that's very close to like this guy is part of the Judenpress.
Right.
You know, like it's very close to that. I feel very incredibly uncomfortable about that. Just because George Soros has donated to a foundation that may donate to Right Wing Watch or one of these organizations that Alex
right.
fucking hates.
You know, on a certain level, I do still despise that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the way that you just described, you know, like, oh, well, he can't be mad at George Soros for donating to all of these things whenever he is beholden to Koch brothers and all of those things.
That's that hypocrisy
it's like,
thing.
I don't appreciate that it's become a proxy war for billionaires.
No, I don't like that either.
That frustrates and infuriates me as well.
I don't like that either. And because the topic has come up and maybe there are new people listening who don't know our stance, we're not fucking super into Soros either.
No.
We just like the reality that he is not a Nazi collaborator.
Yeah, it's like
because
a
he's not.
It's like a beneficent king. Like I get the first part is technically good. It's the second part that really bothers me.
Right.
Like a philanthropist billionaire is still a billionaire.
It's tough to get
I don't
around.
Care how much money Bill Gates gives. His money should all be seized and he should be beheaded.
Right.
Like, I'm not a
Wait,
fan.
Wait, why did I say right to that? I disagree with the beheading part.
I believe I get a +1 for tricking you into saying right.
You're back to zero.
All right.
And everyone in the chat room's gonna drink because you advocated for murder. So also, one of the big things that he was saying about that last clip is all of the people on the left are stupid and all of you are stupid. You don't know
Even
about...
Even the people on the fake left.
Right. You don't know about all this stuff. I know stuff. In this next clip, Alex Jones talks about John Hancock, and we'll see just how smart Alex is.
He's got a lot of John Hancock information.
Yeah, let's see how smart he is.
I'm the only guy with a John Hancock in front and a giant dick in back.
It's a better bit.
I tuck it.
My wife, my parents, my family asked, "Why are you so happy?" And I said,
"Negative one for Dan."
It's like John Hancock.
Boo.
Once he decided at the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776, why we have July 4th, to sign his name on that thing.
Real quick, I'll start. I'll just actually go through it every time he lies. John Hancock did not sign the Declaration of Independence on July 4th. No one did. It was signed on August 2nd, 1776. On July 4th, the Continental Congress met and voted on the Declaration. So Alex is already wrong on one point.
Off to a great start.
He knew it was either victory or death. It was either victory against them or his family on slave ships. You know,
I believe it was Benjamin Franklin who said that.
A lot of the founders lost their families. They lost their lives. They lost everything. And so when John Hancock signed his name bigger and bolder in a letter to the King of England.
So John Hancock signed.
Or it was Nathan, what's his face? The Swamp Fox.
John Hancock signed first because he was the president at the time of the Continental Congress. That's why he signed first. Also,
I bet it was super annoying for everybody else too.
Yeah.
Like how he signed his name all big and everybody's like, God damn it, you showboating.
He was kind of a flamboyant businessman at the time, so.
He was the Roger Stone of Independence
Day. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Dirty trickster. Also, the Declaration of Independence was not sent to King George. That was not part of it at all.
No, it was sent to other nations and colonies, and as an attempt to be like, hey, fuck the British bullshit.
The goal was to explain to other colonists why it was a good idea for them to declare independence, and sent to other nations as a justification so they wouldn't be on the side of the British against them.
Absolutely.
The Declaration of Independence was at no point meant to be like, hey, King George, suck it.
Right. You know, that was... And the strangest thing about this is I kind of disagree with America declaring independence, because really what it was about was like a tiny little tax on stuff, because the king was like, guys, we are giving you a shit ton of money. This is essentially the trade deficit argument. If you are supporting Trump levying tariffs against China, you're against the Declaration of Independence.
Interesting.
King George III, a tyrant, had never been defeated. He wanted to give everybody else courage and put his name out there first and say, if I'm going to risk my life, I'm going to risk it all the way.
Nope.
And quite frankly, it is a great honor to stand against people that work for George Soros. It is an honor to stand against the agents of a Nazi collaborator that said the best days of his life were rounding up Jews and sending them to death camps.
Not true at all.
What about Fred Trump?
Uh-huh. Don't ask that question.
Nazi supporter Fred Trump.
Don't ask that question.
Oh, okay.
And the left thinks they can have the Young Turks, named after a genocidal organization that killed 1.5 million Christians.
Fair play.
Yeah.
Or Anderson Cooper, a leftist foundation baby, one of the richest people in the country. By the time his grandma died, he got $50 billion. He wants us to take him...
That's a lot of money. He's a descendant of the Vanderbilt family, but he was...
That's right.
He was disinherited.
I always forget about that.
He got no money when he
came out.
No. Ever.
Oh, no.
No, not because he's gay. Never. Never got money. When he was a child, his parents sat him down and told him he was not going to get any of his inheritance, because probably at that point, there wasn't any.
Fair enough.
It had been deteriorated over generations, and because the family is diffuse... And even
they've done a few studies on that where within three generations most wealth is gone.
Yeah,
something along those
lines.
Because
people branch out so far and there's not the same like consolidation of we marry within three or four families.
Right.
These days.
What they gotta do is the only way to consolidate your money is do it the way that the old money did and
incest.
Fuck within yourselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's very clear. There have been, Anderson Cooper's done a lot of interviews about this, and it's very clear on record. He has no money that came from his grandma.
Right.
He
does have a little bit of influence.
He goes up there and
says,
I made it up that George Soros was a Nazi collaborator.
You did.
When that piece of filth bragged about it on 60 Minutes.
You didn't.
And that's how dumb they think you are. They even put in the lawsuits against me. Like it's coded messages, and I haven't figured it out yet. And Jones said that Soros was a Nazi collaborator and other lies. A message in three of the lawsuits, leave Soros alone. I will not. I'm going to write books, documentaries about you, and I'm going to expose you and all the other fake media Soros, and you can go back to hell where you crawled out of.
So it's actually an acrostic. That's where they put the coded message in there. If you look at the first word in every sentence.
That's the moment where I most felt like we're basically in the middle of a Nazi rally here.
Right.
Because Alex is lying about George Soros's Nazi past. He's screaming about go to hell, where you came from. He's drunk. He's up there. He's rambling nonsense. He's repeating lore about John Hancock as being some kind of, some sort of truth.
Right.
He's lying about Anderson Cooper. He's lying about everything in such a way that it's just, Ooh, boy. And the vigor that he's manifesting is,
I mean. Is he throwing the hand up? Is he throwing the hand up, or is he punching it down?
He's too
drunk. Which Hitler are we getting? Are we getting the hot Hitler that slams on the podium, or are we getting the Hitler that salutes?
We're getting the sweaty Hitler who's holding onto the podium.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, the chubby, sweaty Hitler who's, it's
like Elvis in the later career.
And then also, unlike Hitler, Alex references some hip hop in the in the middle of this rally.
We just want to have free market and freedom and classical liberalism like Thomas Jefferson talked about. But if you won't move out of the way, it's going to be serious. And just like I took that ludicrous song from 20 years ago or whatever, that's one of the great hip-hop song, and it's a little bit crass, but I'll say it because I played it for clips of Hillary before, and it went viral, tens of millions of views that helped in the election. Move, bitch, get out the way. Get out the way, bitch, move out the way. And that's what it's all about. And I say that, move Bill Clinton, move George Soros, move the Queen of England, move all the Rothschilds and the globalists and all these corrupt elites that want to run our lives. Just move, move, get out the way, bitch, get out the way. All right, hey, I'm going to bring Millie Weaver up here to talk about her experiences. You can repeat that.
All right.
Move, bitch, get up the stage, bitch.
His transitions are strong. Like, this is the kind of hosting I've seen at terrible shows, you know?
I want to be a classical liberalist like Thomas Jefferson and own slaves. That's what I want to be.
And I want to scream at bitches to get out of the way.
Exactly.
Now, to be fair, let's be, I'm not saying that he's yelling at women there. That's not.
Not necessarily.
I was afraid that my language would make it sound like that's a criticism I'm making of him, and it's not. I just think he's stupid.
I mean, maybe a little bit.
No, I don't think so. I think that's why he did move the second time around, because he even was in his head being like, maybe I should say bitch less. But then he said move, bitch. So I think he's probably just drunk.
He can't really control himself.
So Millie gets up.
Also, he said in the previous clip he was going to write books, right?
Yeah, he can't do that.
He can't do that.
Nor can he make documentaries anymore. He hasn't made a documentary in like 12 years.
Right. He doesn't have the attention span.
No. He started taking all his own supplements and now he's fucked.
Take your brain force.
Now, to be fair to him, I don't think I could make a documentary either. I think that would be a whole lot of work and coordination. Not the way he does it, though. You just need an editor who you're paying, and then just tell him, put this over there. You know,
I wonder if we could get a grant from somebody to make a documentary about Alex Jones.
If we do, I will steal the from Endgame. I will steal that riff.
Absolutely. Yeah.
To score the entire fucking thing.
We're going to have to get the rights to that. I don't know if we can afford it.
Oh, God. I don't think that this is what was being referenced in the chat room. Someone wrote Perot. And it was in the middle of me doing the thing. And I thought they were asking Poirot. And it made me realize, oh, no, yeah, use Poirot's theme.
Speaking of which, I saw the new Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh, yeah?
Not good.
It's too bad.
Not good.
You know what?
Very disappointing.
I love Agatha Christie. I love David Suchet. I love Poirot. I love Mystery, that show. I love it all. I do not think that the Murder on the Orient Express is a good story.
It's not. It's really not.
Spoiler alert, everybody does it. That's not good.
Yeah.
That's a bad
also,
story.
Also, what's his face? The
Johnny
lead
Depp?
Character. No, the lead character in the new Murder on the Orient Express.
I thought
he's
it was the Johnny
guy
Depp.
Who did all the,
is Johnny Depp
Shakespeare
the guy who gets
adaptations. The one with
Branagh.
Robin Williams. Branagh.
Kenneth Branagh.
I think he is maybe the most insufferable actor I've ever seen.
That's fair.
I despise him.
That's all right.
Yeah.
I much prefer things like the ABC murders. That was a good one.
okay.
Three Little Indians. I believe that was another good one.
I don't think that's a good one for a lot of obvious reasons.
Anyway, Millie Weaver, a.k.a. Rainbow Snatch.
Yes.
Gets up to the mic and she...
Let's hear some of this.
She has an interesting perspective on Charlottesville. That
does she? Well, also, why did it come up?
Because she was there and that's all she has to go on anymore. Uh-huh. That's her sort of InfoWars claim to fame.
Yeah.
Is that she was at Charlottesville.
Not Rainbow Snatch?
So here's what I want to get at here. We've seen Antifa mobs be mobilized by George Soros.
That's based on those fake documents that they found on 4chan that Alex now believes is real. He's now claiming that they've been verified.
Oh.
And the way he says that...
Did Twitter give him a blue check mark?
No, what happened is, hey, no one said that they aren't.
I like that argument.
His argument
That's an airtight argument right
his
there.
His argument is like, we've been talking about it for a while and no one's told me to stop, so they're real. Boo. Boo.
I love it.
Shitty logic.
I love it. If it was wrong, somebody would have said something by now.
Right.
It's definitely not that nobody's paying attention to my bullshit.
Yeah. That's why he has to go to fucking DC to try and get some attention.
Yeah.
Okay. By big corporations that have tons and tons of money funneling into these groups like MoveOn.org, Refuse Fascism, and Antifa. I saw it at Charlottesville. I was there on the ground in Charlottesville, and the mainstream media started coming out immediately saying that the violence was one-sided, that the violence was coming from the alt-right, the people who are out there trying to protect the right of a statue of our history to still exist.
Oh.
When we have a totalitarian government that wants to try and justify removing history, removing memorials.
Oh, not memorials.
Americans should be concerned about that. I mean, anyone who wants to just go out there and stand out there and peacefully protest should be allowed to. But here's what
happened. Except for the leftists.
Left groups, radical leftist groups came out there in hordes, ready to attack. And yes, there were radical elements of the right out there as well.
A few.
Hold on.
You did have them as well, which I personally believe that a lot of these radical right groups that were out there had ties to the deep state.
Yeah!
And they're sent out there to be provocateurs, to cause violence, so that you can demonize the entire right, demonize Trump, the entire Trump movement.
So if you're keeping score, this is literally a narrative that is built only to justify white supremacy.
Yeah.
That is, that is, okay, oh, hey, the left people who are out there, they're sincere, but they're terrorists.
Now.
They're also funded by George Soros, but they're terrorists.
Of course.
Now, the people on the right also are being funded by George Soros in order to come out and scream blood and soil.
For
sure. A bunch of Nazi catchphrases.
I know.
And defend a statue that, really, it's not even memorializing history. It was put up years and years after.
Yeah, what, in the 1930s?
Sisters
to
of the Confederacy nonsense.
Yeah, that's the one that was like, hey, we gotta rehab the image of the Confederacy. Like,
yeah.
That was right around the time that they were like, oh, it was about states' rights.
Yeah.
It was about states' rights. For sure. Put up statues.
I mean, they have gone back and looked over all of those, like, spikes and Confederate statues that were put up over history, and they apparently are at times, like, when the Civil Rights Movement was going.
Right.
But at times when you wanted to terrorize minorities into, remembering we used to own you.
Also.
That sort of thing.
Also, let me ask you a question to her point of that, oh, they're radical leftist terrorists, and they're only demonizing the alt-right. And it's like, oh, the alt-right is fine, except for those people. Who has the FBI recently classified as a terrorist organization?
Antifa?
Yeah. And who has the FBI...
Black Lives Matter, maybe?
Who has the FBI minimized as not a threat?
Oh, they also said the Juggalos were a gang.
Yes. Yeah.
That's nonsense.
Absolute nonsense.
Yeah, we're living in a world right now, and Alex Jones is sort of one of the largest cultural mouthpieces of this. That is permissive of white violence and white terrorism. And this is the entire system right now with
well, the entire system has always been permissive of white violence.
We were working in the right direction to some extent, I think, and a lot of that is being rolled back by Trump.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing these things of, like, taking questions about LGBT identity out of the census, which is like, maybe it's like, it's not a big deal.
Can't have it.
But yeah, but there's reasons that those sort of...
You got to have your citizenship test in there as well.
Well, those things,
of course.
Those things are very important because without those sort of metrics, you lose track of statistics about hate crimes and stuff like that.
I mean, who can really say what is and isn't a hate crime? The groups that are having hate crimes perpetrated against them?
I mean,
well, that's not fair treatment, Dan.
Well, I mean, maybe when, you know, a bunch of dudes who are affiliated with groups like Identity Europa and sort of white supremacist groups beat the shit out of a black guy while screaming ethnic slurs at him at Charlottesville. That, I mean, it feels like a hate crime.
You could classify it as such, but...
Boy, it feels like it. I don't know. It's probably a deep
full
state.
Full stop.
Probably,
I got nothing.
Probably the deep state.
Full stop.
Probably,
yes.
They were probably all deep state actors.
It doesn't feel like it. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a frustrating experience to have so many, like, I get why they feel like it's necessary. So many news organizations put that out as like alleged hate crime.
Right.
But if you have a video of somebody screaming racial slurs and beating up a black person, that is not an alleged hate crime.
Nope.
That's a hate crime.
No.
If you have a justice system that is trying that very black person who got beat up by white people making racial slurs at him as though he is also guilty of assault, that justice system is perpetrating its own hate crime.
Gotta hear
both
sides.
These people are fucking insane.
No, it's nuts.
They're bananas.
No, it's nuts. And the,
like, I don't even want to support Mueller's investigation because the FBI has been a white supremacist, white supremacist organization since the very fucking beginning.
Right.
I don't know why none of the Democrats are running on, let's get rid of fucking Trump. Because if we actually do take the House in 2018, they're not gonna do it. They don't have the fucking dicks to do it, and it is very frustrating, which is why women should make up the entirety of Congress.
I mean, Trick Daddy, take it to the House.
Yes.
Take it to the House.
Agreed.
Slip inside. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to respond to your rant. I get it. I agree.
I don't know. I'm just angry. I'm just so fucking mad that nobody is going to actually do anything about
this. I didn't mean
to
restart your rant.
I'm sorry! Oh, god damn it. fair enough.
I gotta take a quick break. Quick break. I gotta piss really quick. We'll be right back.
All right.
Sorry about that. We're back.
Andy in Kansas.
First time caller.
Yeah.
So
could you, my right can ain't doing it. That's a technical term. Perfect.
All right. So, at this point, Millie Weaver has done her piece to make this, distasteful, white supremacist, white nationalist rally. Made the feel real strong. And at this point, Alex is drunk.
Now,
like, he's straight drunk.
Before we go any further, sorry to interrupt you for, like, the millionth time tonight.
All right.
Millie Weaver seems like she's, she's one of those people who almost gets it. Like, when she starts talking about how corporations are funding all of these people, she seems completely unaware that all of the billionaires are directly behind essentially all of the white nationalist movements. They're directly behind the Tea Party. They're directly behind all of this shit.
Right.
And it confuses me. Like, is this information withheld from her, or is she aware of it?
She's aware of it.
I can't believe she is. She seems... Now, this may
Jordan,
be this
Jordan,
may be
Jordan,
latent sexism
Jordan,
on my part.
Jordan. Are you not aware that we're covering a propaganda outlet?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
At what point do you think they have good faith?
Right, but I can't imagine her in like a backroom conversation being like, man, I'm telling you, I know these right-wing billionaires are ruining the country, but that's where my bread is buttered. You know?
Hmm.
Like, she seems like she believes it. Like, she seems like that
Why?
Type of millennial that gets...
Oh, that type of millennial.
No, I don't
now
mean...
You're going
I don't
generational.
Mean... Now I'm going... No. I mean, there's so many, like, profiles of what some young white nationalist asshole who's in law school
right.
believes. And it always winds up being something that at the base level, if you just start with... Citizens United was a terrible decision.
Sure.
And billionaires are controlling everything. You're like, yes, you are right on board. And then they're like, because the left. And you're like, no!
Fuck.
God damn it. Like, do they not know?
No, I think it's just willful team sports. I think it's just...
That's probably a good point.
You know?
And then they, just like any kind of, groupthink kind of cult thing, they inoculate themselves against any information that denies their narrative.
Well, and
fair. Fair point.
And project the thing that they know, they're guilty of on the other side.
Right.
Which, to be fair, they're also guilty of. Everyone's guilty of.
Right. No, absolutely. Billionaires are the worst fucking human beings ever to exist.
Generally. Sometimes they can have benevolent intentions, and sometimes they can do great things, but shouldn't have that much money.
That's a good point. The pyramids happened.
Yes,
Fair.
That's true.
Yeah.
They're huge.
They're very big.
So at this point, Alex is drunk. Millie gets off stage.
How'd they get those rocks there?
It's crazy. Probably magic. Probably.
Could be.
Let's talk to some theosophists about it.
Let's do it.
So at this point, Alex, like I said, is drunk. And he wants to... I think that it's one of those things where he knows that he explained Chuck E. Cheese the rat, but he's gone and had a couple more drinks. And he's like, I don't know if I really explained it. So he gets back on stage and explains it again.
Everybody knows explaining the reason joke is great.
Yep, absolutely.
Again, the reason I kept calling him Chuck E. Cheese the rat is they don't like memes.
They hate
that
him.
Guy follows people around. In fact, maybe Lee Stranding can talk about that guy. This Jordan Klepper guy disinfos us constantly, lies about what we say.
He does a comedy
clips
show.
Clips things together to say that we say no kids died in Florida,
that
we attack
that.
Children. All of this is lies and slander and defamation. That's what he does through the guise of entertainment. They end up getting protected. So I know that they came and covered his Citizen School of Journalism. It's very popular and does a great job in Texas, North Texas. And misrepresented it. So that's why I was calling him Chuck E. Cheese the rat. Chuck E. Cheese the rat.
Still doesn't
make
sense.
They're going to edit what we say together. So if I just say Chuck E. Cheese the rat or some other meme that makes him look bad,
that's
he can't edit us.
Is.
He's not real. He's a fraud. He's going to edit us. They're going to misrepresent. So our only defense is continually say one thing so there's no edit. And that's why he kept trying to get me to have a conversation. And no, no, no. So when you see him later out there waiting, so he knows he got his ass kicked today. Just say, you're a fraud, you're a scam, Chuck E. Cheese the rat. You see one of these guys, George Soros funded, like these back here. None of it's real. They're here to pretend like they're journalists. Get their paycheck from Soros, but they're going to lose. So, Lee Stranahan, come on up here, brother. So
that's projection of the highest order.
We'll get to that in a second, the Lee Stranahan coming up. But I have two important points I need to make.
Okay.
The first is... You're not going to protect yourself from a comedian by saying Chuck E. Cheese the rat over and over again. He will just make a bit about that.
Hmm.
So that's probably what's going to end up happening. And then the second...
If it is indeed Jordan Klepper, which it almost certainly isn't.
I'm guessing it's not. And then I don't remember what my second point was. Probably had something to do with the idea of, like, why are you mad at comedians?
Yeah. Well, conservatives are always mad at comedians.
It really must be
mainly because they don't understand why they can't be comedians.
It must be infuriating to just have like no ability to laugh.
I know.
But also,
what
someone
is...
told us, Prop Dew in the chat room is suggesting that it was Owen Schroyer. And I want to say, I want to say very clearly, Owen Schroyer did not make the cut for the road team. Him and David Knight had to stay at home. And host Alex Jones' show for him.
And the only reason Corsi is there is because he was already there.
Yeah, he's already in D.C.
Yeah. That'd be great if it turns out Corsi does a wonderful Jordan Klepper impression.
That'd be great.
He did mention the Citizen School of Journalism
in
Texas, and I don't know what that is.
I don't
What's
either.
That?
I don't care.
Okay, it's fair enough.
It's probably something we should look into, but...
It piques my curiosity.
I assume it's something that Lee Stranahan's involved in, and he's gotten... I need to look more into him, but I'm not entirely sure what that Citizen School of Journalism is. It didn't pique my interest too much. I just assume it's some dumb shit.
I just thought I'd ask a question since it's your job to do all the research and I don't have to.
I can research a bunch of stuff. I can't research everything. I did research this next clip.
Now, this is why our donors are not giving up the big bucks, Dan.
I researched this next clip.
Uh-huh.
And Lee Stranahan talks about people that Alex Jones reminds him of.
It's been really interesting. I said this to Alex earlier, actually. Here's one reason they hate Alex Jones. He's fun. Right? Right? In fact, I said this to Alex.
Not a huge agreement.
Hanging out with Alex today reminds me of hanging out with two of my friends, one of whom is gone, Andrew Breitbart, who was...
He was on coke all the time. Probably was fun.
Noted drunk on coke all the time.
Who was always fun, and I miss the fun of hanging around somebody, and my other friend is Dog the Bounty Hunter, so I think you can see where there's a little bit of both there with Alex. Also, the other reason it reminds me of Dog is when I'm around Alex or Dog, I end up taking a lot of pictures.
Ha ha ha, that's cute. I'd like to read you a quote from Dog the Bounty Hunter. This is a little quote that came out from a conversation he had with his son that was inspired by the fact that his son was dating a black girl. Quote, I'm not taking a chance, not because she's black, but because we use the word and sometimes here. I'm not going to take any chance ever in life of losing everything I've worked for 30 years because some drunken N heard us say N and turned us into the Inquirer magazine. I'm not taking a chance at all. Never in life. Never.
The thing that reminds me of Alex in that statement is a complete lack of understanding about the word irony.
Right.
I'm not taking a chance that some N would hear the N word. And it's like, boy, you don't understand what just happened there, do you? You have no clue.
Yeah.
Also, if anybody puts me in the sentence with, you know, the same thing about Jordan and dog is I take a lot of pictures. I want to be out of that sentence. I want out of that sentence so fast. Is there a statute of limitations for that sentence?
I want to be out of any sentence comparing me to Dog the Bounty Hunter, unless it's Dan.
Beard?
Dan is very different from Dog the Bounty Hunter. Because, like, look, that is a private conversation that he had that got leaked, and it shows a certain amount of lack of having his guard up. And in that conversation, he's like, look, I don't want a black person around because we use the N-word sometimes. And I don't give a shit. We just use it because we don't give a shit. And I know that it offends black people, and I don't give a fuck about that.
Now, that's your Coming to Dinner movie right there.
Yeah, Dog the Bounty Hunter has a son who dates a black girl.
Yep.
I'm sure it was not a comedy.
I think they would get The Rock to play that role.
And then also Dog the Bounty Hunter got in trouble because he went out of his jurisdiction and got somebody.
He has jurisdiction?
Well, he's a bounty hunter. He went to Mexico and got this dude who was, like a criminal who had a bounty on him.
Oh yeah, that's super illegal.
He got in trouble for that. And then, the court case took so long.
Yeah, I don't know anything about bounty hunters, but I'm guessing extraordinary rendition isn't under their purview.
Yeah, especially if you're a reality star. he ended up not getting in trouble with that. The case got thrown out because of a statute of limitations issue. But, it's still, dirty business.
Yeah.
You can't, go to foreign countries and extradite people.
Yeah. Try to avoid that.
Yeah, unless you're the CIA, and we're still not for that.
Yeah.
So now here, Lee Stranahan, he really vocalizes what, the feeling of this after press conference thing is. I was expressing earlier that some people, make the literal statement, we're among friends, so I can speak candidly.
Right.
And this,
sometimes we say the N-word among friends.
Right.
Like, it's not that we don't want black people here, it's that we don't want anybody knowing that we're giant racists.
It might as well be that, but, I mean, they still broadcasted this.
But, look, this morning I was trying to be, I was talking to mainstream media.
You
so
weren't.
I wanted to be conciliatory, and I wanted to be, as a Christian, I wanted to be open and inviting. But now I'm among friends, so let me talk to you about George Soros. And I'm not going to try to make you feel badly for the left, but Alex said something very interesting recently. He was talking about, did you guys see the thing he did from his yard this past, like 3 days ago, Sunday or something like that? Where he was talking about, I used to live in Austin, so I know there's a lot of hippies. There's Hippie Hollow, in fact, by Barton Creek. So he was talking about how the left used to be in favor of free speech. Remember that?
Hmm.
Remember how the left used to like free speech? They used to embrace it? Remember when the ACLU was, I'm old enough to remember when they were defending Illinois Nazis in Skokie? Does anybody else remember that? That's what the left used to do. So why, what happened to the left? Alex, actually, we were talking about this the other day. He asked me, you want to know what happened? George Soros.
Oh, boy. So George Soros destroyed the left by funding a bunch of organizations.
That'll happen.
You can go to the ACLU's website and you can find out about what they're actually involved in right now, which people just don't actually pay attention to.
It's hard.
Well,
it's a whole website and you gotta go and there's porn.
Here's something from March 29th, 2018 that Alex Jones probably would be super into, that the ACLU is actually fighting in court instead of screaming about impotently on an internet show. ACLU report urges cities and towns to provide internet service as a utility. That's something that Alex Jones is fucking super into. They're protecting people about non-disclosure agreements with the White House. They're working with students in Louisiana about who were ordered to take down a mural on the grounds that it's a violation of their free speech. I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
Generally speaking, the ACLU has done everything possible to not support causes, but support the actual defense and rule of law.
Absolutely.
Like, even when you disagree with them, as in the aforementioned Nazi case, it's still the rule of law, you know? Like, if you don't apply the law equally, you don't actually have a legal system.
And like, real talk, if Alex Jones had a legitimate First Amendment grievance, the ACLU would be the first people who would support him.
Right.
They do.
They wouldn't be the first. They would be there.
Yeah.
If called upon.
Right. I mean, here's a press release that they put out from March 7th of this year. The ACLU of Louisiana sent an open letter to the Jefferson Parish School Board yesterday concerning a proposed measure which would restrict public comments at meetings. The proposal seeks to prohibit political and election comments as disruptive, inflammatory, self-promoting, threatening, or interfering with board, business. So, like, they're doing all this shit on a local level, on a national level, that are making a difference, that are trying to help people, and all he does is just be like, blah, ACLU doesn't do shit. Blah.
Why are they called a leftist organization by the right? Because they want to apply the law equally.
Yeah.
And that is anathema to right philosophy, mm-hmm. especially far right philosophy, which is essentially authoritarian.
Yeah.
When you do that, when you apply the law equally, the hard right will always fight against that.
Yep. Yep.
Full stop.
No, but I find this disgusting, because the ACLU is still living their mission. And the only rationale you could possibly have for not thinking that is willful ignorance. You just don't care about what they're doing. Huh. Haven't heard them defend Nazis in a while. I wonder what that's really.
That's a good point. That his essential point was, they haven't defended Nazis recently enough.
I remember back when they did that in Skokie, and everyone remembers that.
Yeah.
And they still
Skokie, which has a Nazi candidate running for Congress.
In a overwhelmingly Jewish area.
Yep.
Not offensive at all.
Uh-uh.
Enjoy, good luck, you have the right to do that. But at the same time, like, they still do that. You'll still hear stories, even in the last few years, of the ACLU defending their right to have a demonstration.
Right.
Shit like that.
Of course.
It's fucking bullshit. Lee Stranahan is just lying to perpetuate a narrative that the left has abandoned these principles in service of demonizing George Soros.
Right.
Which, again...
Also, pretty sure he's actually just talking about the Blues Brothers.
Ooh.
Remember the Nazi rally in the Blues Brothers?
I do.
I think that's what he's actually referencing.
I do. My mind glitched because I started thinking about Chubby Checker. It's not Chubby Checker. Fuck, who is it?
It's Chuck E. Cheese the Rat.
That's right.
Yep.
He needs a get out.
Now I'm thinking of Chuck E. Cheese the Rat. As like Chuck E. Cheese's brother in a Hamburglar situation. I'm enjoying that whole, like, never mind. I don't want to try and get into this weird fantasy that my brain just took down.
It's not Chubby Checker, because he did the twist. Now all my brain can do is think about the time the Chubby Checker did that song with the Fat Boys. They did the other version of the twist. Chubby Checker. Anyway.
This is a mic down clip for you, Dan.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, in this next clip, Lee Stranahan is done. And now we bring up that old puffy bitch. I really hate calling people a bitch or anything like that. But for some reason, every time I see Jerome Corsi, I just think, you swollen bitch. I don't know why he's the person who gets that, like, he evokes that in me. But I dislike him so much in a, like, you are clear that you're a propagandist. You've made very abundantly clear in literally
right.
every appearance you've had on the show, your entire life has been about propaganda. You were brought up by Edward Bernays in the propaganda game.
Right.
You
right,
have
right.
admitted that. You are clearly a person who has written books about Obama's birth certificate being fake and John Kerry and the Swift boat situation
right.
as propaganda. Your entire career has been about lying. And now I look at you and you make me sad. You look like you got fucking left out in the water too long. You you look like a bloated corpse. You piece of shit.
Ooh,
like,
we gotta turn that into a
I hate him so much and I hate what he's done to the world.
Yeah.
That it just makes me, oh god, you waterlogged bitch. Anyway.
Oh boy.
In this next clip.
That was intense emotion from you.
I've been holding up, holding back a lot of feelings
I love
about
it.
Jerome Corsi.
I gotta teach you how to scream.
And now he's doing all this QAnon shit. And so like, it's even better. Cause it's like, you stupid asshole. You're getting tricked by this internet meme. This is delightful. So he comes up in this press conference and starts talking QAnon shit.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out he knew about a coup.
Oh.
3 years ago.
Which coup?
The counter coup. But because we've done our research, we know that this doesn't match up with Jerome Corsi's timeline at all.
I wanted you to know that about 3 years ago.
Boring!
This I'd like everybody to kind of hear. Even in the back. About 3 years ago, a group of generals came to me, and it was explained to me they were ready to conduct a coup d'etat. They're ready to move Barack Obama from office.
Also, sorry, Jerome Corsi has terrible mic technique.
This is amazing. Yeah. This is already, no one should allow Jerome Corsi near any kind of rally.
Get closer to the mic.
Ugh.
Ugh.
Military force. And then a few weeks later, I got another call and said that they were reconsidering. You know why they were reconsidering?
That was Alex. Screaming from the back of the room.
Because they talked to Donald Trump.
Six claps.
And Trump had agreed... Trump agreed that he would run. And they agreed that if he would run, they would conduct their coup d'etat as a legitimate process, rooting out the traitors within government.
That's not a coup d'etat.
And that pact between the military and Donald Trump has held. As we've been interpreting and watching, and Alex has been following QAnon, QAnon is military intelligence.
Nope.
And close to Trump.
Nope.
And the intelligence we're getting that we've explained on InfoWars really is a lot of the inside script.
Jerome Corsi just gave up the game. He just admitted that a lot of the inside information that they pretend comes from sources comes from QAnon. Yeah, he just basically gave it up. Like, he's like, a lot of this inside information that we're getting from this internet hoax, this is the inside stuff.
Wow.
Like, we haven't done...
That's sad. That's really sad.
We haven't talked a lot about QAnon, because why would
why?
We? Yeah. but it turns out it's probably the root source of a lot of Alex's narratives.
Yeah.
It's probably way more influential to all this than we realize.
Well, all we've begun talking about now is that Alex is trying to catch up. Mm-hmm. The conspiracy world is too fast for him, and
right.
he's just not able to put out enough content. Whereas with QAnon, it's just a bunch of random dudes having a great old time.
Right, right.
So of
and
course
finding
they can
exactly what they want in cryptic dumbass posts.
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
Someone's having a ball,
right? Right.
And probably will make a shitload of money once they give it up and write a book about it.
Oh, that'd be fun.
But then they'll get killed.
Well, there'd be too many. There'd be
one of these
too
assholes
many,
will kill them.
Too many pages that are just hentai. I think that would be trouble.
Yeah. So the end result of this, according to Jerome Corsi, is pretty severe. I would say that this is incredibly unlikely.
There's a very simple word that describes what they are. Traitors.
Oh!
Traitors. It's a capital crime. And I want to predict
committed by the
today
president
that when the tables turn, Donald Trump will be invoking military tribunals. And even Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are going to be facing treason charges.
Eight claps. One locker up.
It will not end, and Donald Trump will have the courage to do that. He doesn't, remember, he doesn't need the job. Donald Trump has a vision of the future in which he continues to play a role. And he's seen that vision and has had that vision with him for decades.
Man, do you hear how troubling what he's saying is?
All I know is that in historically,
right,
military tribunals have been the best part of every functioning democracy, right?
Oh, especially when they're brought up to punish your political rivals.
Oh, yeah!
And especially when those political rivals really aren't even political rivals anymore. It's just sort of symbolic of trying to consolidate power and punish your perceived enemies.
It has always worked out great for the people.
Also, Jerome Corsi at the end there saying that Trump has a vision of the world with him staying involved, and he has for decades. Well,
right.
That doesn't sound at all like like a fascist,
like
leader.
A dictator for life.
Yeah, exactly.
Strange.
Something that Trump has made comments. Maybe that's a good idea.
I would be a dictator for life. No big deal.
The other thing too is that this doesn't match up with the timeline. We know from looking at 2015 that around the time 3 years ago, which would have been in April 2018. Jerome Corsi wasn't at all behind Trump. He was even in about September when he would come on Alex Jones's show and talk about it. He said that Trump was just fucking around,
right?
And he wasn't really serious once he was even running. So the idea that,
and even more specifically back then, if he had that information, he would have been against it.
No, he would have been for it. He would have told Alex. It would have been a great man.
No, I mean just on general like. This is before the whole team got behind Trump. So this is still that, well, 3 years ago, that's still when they would have been
Jordan,
it's bad.
You're stupid.
That's a good point.
You're stupid. Here's
why. That's a good point.
Here's why.
I'm going to give you plus one for pointing that out.
If in Jerome Corsi's timeline that he's pitching now in the present day was true, that 3 years ago someone came to him before Donald Trump decided to run for president,
uh-huh,
and they were like, we're going to do a coup d'etat and get Obama out of office,
right,
but we're not going to do that because Trump said he's going to run and he's,
right,
going to do this the right way,
right,
then the second that Trump decided he was going to run, Jerome Corsi would have either been like, hey, I know that there's a secret coup d'etat going,
yeah,
on in Trump. We got to get behind him.
Yeah, of course.
Or he would have played that close to the vest and just been like, Alex, I think you really should support Trump.
Right.
His first couple of appearances after Trump had announced that he was running and was on the campaign trail
were like, he's not serious.
He's not serious.
This guy is stupid.
You gotta still love Rand Paul.
Of course.
So all of this doesn't make any fucking goddamn sense at all. Jerome Corsi is a swollen, bloated, corpse on the beach ass bitch. And I fucking hate him. He's a stupid dickhole.
I love it.
Can't stand this
guy. I want more insults. Keep it going.
It means we're going to have to cover Corsi more.
We're just going to open up every show now with you writing more and more interesting and esoteric insults to describe Jerome Corsi.
Jerome Corsi, with your laying down in the sand, I poke you with a stick and you go, blah, 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 ass bitch. What sucks about it is, like, the only
Jerome Corsi with your swamp bloated balls just exploding all over everywhere. Like mushrooms in a fairy ring, you are dying.
This is the problem, though, is the only image that comes up in my head is legitimately a waterlogged corpse. That's all I see when I think of Jerome Corsi. So if I'm trying to come up with insults, that's all I'm going to do. Anyway. All
right.
Oh, Jerome Corsi, you suck.
There's so many places for a bloated corpse to wash up on the edge of. You could go with a river.
I think the reason that I'm so mad at him is his history is so clear. And he's so fucking transparent.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, like,
why would you even choose specifically 3 years ago?
There's a lot of people who make me mad in Alex Jones's world and what have you. He doesn't make me mad. I hate him.
Yeah.
You know, there's other people who I'm like, I'm more interested in explaining to you why this person is a problem.
Right.
Of course he is. I want to do a dance on his face. I hate this guy.
I love it when it gets personal with you.
This guy
sucks.
A
huge fan.
I don't know why.
I wish I'd known how much you hated this guy in the past.
Oh, I don't know why he triggers me. He's so boring. Oh. He's so boring.
No. I think it's a combination of boredom and murder.
Honestly, all these people are boring to me to some extent, except for Hamamoto, Steve Pachenik.
Right.
And
Roger Stone, of course, is a delight.
Not generally. You don't listen to as much of him as I do.
That's true. I don't.
I think
I only get trickster god Roger Stone.
I don't want to call it a fetish, but metaphorically okay. It's kind of a fetish.
Okay.
Because in the way that I listen to InfoWars, I can really only get it up for people who are creative.
Uh-huh.
You know, like
yeah.
I can really only enjoy it when I see Steve Pachenik's coming around.
Right.
Hamamoto, Larry Nichols, these types of interesting crazies.
Right.
Like interesting. He's a boot-licking asshole.
Yeah, it's like your taste in porn. Like, eventually it escalates to the point where it gets more and more specific.
Sure.
So, of course, you need something. You need novelty. You constantly need novelty in order to make things explode.
Now, Alex is like that sort of white bread mainline mom and pop porn that you'll always be fine with.
Right.
It'll always
be
good. It's fine.
Because it's mom and pop?
Yeah, I'm just saying, run of the mill.
That's already in a weird place right there.
Especially these days.
Yeah.
Let's get off this topic. My point is that...
Knowledge fight. You only get it here.
Really feel like I got railroaded there because I hate Jerome Corsi.
I know. I love it.
Anyway, in this next clip, we get someone who I'm not really as excited about and don't care about. A gentleman by the name of Jack Posobiec. But
this guy's a piece of shit.
Yeah, he sucks. But you'll enjoy this.
I don't hate Jack Posobiec so much as I'm like, you disgust me as a human being.
Yeah.
Like, it bums me. Like, every part of his life bums me out.
Jack Posobiec might as well be mini Roger Stone. Like, he's sort of
but shittier, more boring, fucking
right.
Monstrous Roger Stone.
Yeah, but I see him as kind of like an acolyte, a dirty trickster in training.
Yeah.
And we're seeing like the...
he's a Padawan.
Yeah, well, we're seeing all of the beginning of it because he came to prominence with all that Pizzagate shit that he denies that he was involved with
now. Yeah. He was just asking questions, man.
Right, you're not going to the...
He's starting to debate.
Not going to the pizza place and creating a hoax out of it. No, not at all. And so we see this. I think he's very easy to see through, and it's not that interesting. But you'll enjoy this first clip where he tries to get a USA chant going, and it does not work.
Oh, boy.
It kind of works, but it really doesn't.
Folks, there's so much going on. I don't even know where to start, but...
What's in the news?
I don't know where to start or where to begin.
That's like a comic who's like, what's in the news?
Yeah. What else? What else is, what else am I working on?
I'd like to start, and I think there's a few folks that might join me in a little bit of a slogan that I didn't come up with it. You folks may have heard of it, though.
It's not a slogan.
Letters. It goes, USA! 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 USA!
Thunderous.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So.
Woof. I've heard more sustained USA chants at empty open mics.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard more sustained USA chants at Hitler's rallies.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And also, I love the idea. Hey, here's a slogan you might know. It's three letters.
Yeah.
Not the name of the fucking country.
I got a
slogan.
Listen, I'm gonna play a little song for you. It goes a little something like this. Sing along with the chorus if you know it.
Now, my first ditty is USA. In this next clip, this is maybe the only, mic down clip, perhaps. I think that Jack Posobiec accidentally reveals something in this clip, that he doesn't realize he's revealing, but he is, and that is that he is a white nationalist.
Okay.
They want the U.S. dollar to be, you know, 10 U.S. dollars to one Chinese dollar. And
he's talking about the Chinese.
And the one thing, and I'll say this, because it always stuck with me. I had a Chinese as a, you know, sort of a business partner, and he said, listen, Jack, one day, American babies are going to be adopted by Chinese families. And that's the way it's going to go. And he didn't say that's what we want. He said that's what's going to happen. And that shocked me. That really shocked me. I said, I don't want the U.S. to ever be in that kind of position. We always think of those as the impoverished countries. Countries where you get paid for that and get some charity money for that. And so that helps, maybe give up your child for a better life. Well, I don't want my kids, and I'm having a kid here in 5 weeks, all right? And I don't want my child to grow up in a country that's going on the decline. And that is why I spent all of 2016 working my butt off for Donald J. Trump. And that's why I spent all of 2017. I'm going to spend all of 2018. And as long as it takes. As long as it takes. Thank you so much.
So he closes out his set, as it were, expressing.
I really don't like that he said, now, I had a Chinese as a partner.
Right.
That's not good.
It's
not a good start.
I don't know if that's how he phrased it, but if it is, it somehow missed my ears.
Pretty sure I heard that.
The thing that's important is that white nationalism, white supremacy, are based on the 11 words, and most of it is about securing an existence for white children.
Yeah.
That is very spiritually similar to what he's talking about. The idea that it's offensive, that white babies would be sent over. Now, he says American, of course, in the same way that Alex uses the West.
Right, it's the West.
Use these coded bits of language, and he even personalizes. Like, I'm having a kid, so I'm sorry, 14 words, not 11.
Yeah,
I don't give a shit about neo-Nazis, so I don't care to get the number right.
Mm.
Anyway,
I'm a big fan of, he has no idea, right? I don't want my kid growing up in a country that's in decline. Well, then send them elsewhere.
No. That's not even what he's concerned about.
That's what he just said. He's American babies will be adopted by Chinese people. And I'm like, well, what's the fucking infant mortality rate here, you fucking idiot?
But that's not.
What are you talking about?
In the same way that people who, attack abortion clinics say that they're doing it because they're concerned with.
Many black children are aborted and so bad. Fuck off.
The rhetoric doesn't match the belief. And the belief that he's espousing is basically
white children for white America.
More or less.
Yeah.
And
it's great. It's great.
That's a really troubling clip. And he goes very clearly to express that that's why I supported Trump and that's why I'm going to continue working so hard for him. And all this, and that's...
There's so many, every time these guys get a clip taken out where it's like, well, obviously you're talking about how you're a white supremacist. They're like, oh, you take this clip out of context. We have years long fucking rap sheets of you being a white supremacist. There's no taking this out of context. You are literally, provably, demonstrably a white nationalist.
Yeah.
To pretend otherwise is fucking ridiculous.
No. But it's insane that they realize it's like, hey,
we can't say it out loud.
But we're all cool here.
Yeah. We're among friends.
Among friends.
Yeah.
We're here. Like Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Dog the Bounty Hunter's in the back, right there.
He's free to say the N-word.
Yeah.
All he wants. That sort of thing. That's the vibe of this thing. And they're free to say things. That clip of Posobiec talking about, I don't want American kids being adopted by Chinese people. That's dog whistle-y for sure.
Yeah.
But there's an intent to it to rile whites up.
Are you talking about Latinx people?
Mm-mm.
I'm kind of guessing no.
Talking about black people?
I'm kind of guessing no.
Talking about African Americans? No.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't give
a shit about that.
I don't want American babies. Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You fucking piece of shit.
Absolutely.
God, these people. What? Why?
So
why? What do you got? What do you need? What do you fucking need? Like, what does it take to not be a white supremacist? It can't just be that you were raised white supremacist.
That's a part of it.
It's absolutely a part of it, but there's something that they get out of it. Like
there's some kind of social group, or people who go to church
really just kind of want people to hang out with.
No, that, I mean, that's a benign version of it, but like there's a.
Is it?
Yeah. I think that there's a, I read some interesting articles recently about, conspiracy as being a shortcut to seeming smart. Because you have like this idea of like, oh, you all believe this. I know the truth. I haven't read any of this stuff, but I get to feel smart.
That's a really interesting point of view to take on that. I didn't consider that.
I get to feel smart because I have this alternative belief. Now, I haven't researched any of it, and you guys are certainly have written papers about
your
version, but you're dumb because you don't know the truth that I saw on YouTube.
Well, so hey, 97% of scientists can be wrong when they talk about climate change.
Yeah.
It's only the 3% that really know the conspiracy behind it.
Right. So there's that idea, of like a shortcut to feeling smart. And I think that there's a disenfranchisement that people feel possibly, that, white supremacy gives them a shortcut to being awesome.
I'm not saying that's all of it, but that's a piece of it probably. We're not talking about a justification for it so much as a psychology behind it, a psychosis behind it, really.
It goes down
I can't disagree with you. It's not an excuse, more of a possible explanation. Yeah, absolutely.
Of like you, because you were asking, like, what do you get out of it?
Yeah.
You get a automatic boost to your sense of self.
No, and that makes perfect sense.
I mean, it's not a coincidence that everyone on that stage is white.
Right.
You know, it's...
Right.
Anyway, finally.
I mean, it's like, with both of our insecurities and mental illnesses, you think we'd be better off if we were white supremacists, Dan?
No. Nah, too much baggage comes along with it. You gotta hang out with weirdos.
That's a good
one. No good.
You gotta be a proud boy. That's the worst. That's the worst.
I mean, the friend part of it alone is disqualifying.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Have you ever watched any documentaries about, like, neo-Nazi groups and stuff like that?
Uh-uh.
It's really fascinating.
I saw The Green Room. That sounded about right.
All
right.
I haven't seen that one, but.
It's a great movie.
If you
Patrick Stewart is a white supremacist, you can't go wrong.
That's a movie. I'm talking docs, baby. If you watch documentaries about white supremacist groups, a lot of the times you'll find, you just see that, like, if you were in the place of the person the documentary is about, like, it would just be like, why do I have to hang out with these dicks?
Yeah.
These people are assholes.
Yeah.
What am I doing? I'd just be like, oh, I gotta get out of this garage. Everyone seems to hang out in garages.
That's a good point.
And I'm not talking about like a garage, like, hey, it's a car shop. I'm talking about a garage.
Yeah.
Anyway, finally, an hour plus into this, string of speeches, they get to the actual Q&A session that the thing was supposed to be.
Oh, that was
about.
Supposed to be?
And Alex is too drunk to do it, so he has Millie Weaver host the question and answer.
She's moderating it?
Yeah.
Excellent.
He gets up on stage.
This is a Star Trek Q&A if you're a white supremacist.
He gets up on stage and he's like, all right, we're going to open the floor to questions. I'm going to bring Millie Weaver up here, and I'll come and answer something if you want. And then he kind of just disappears for a long time after... After this, he does answer this question.
Gotta do a little coke. Come on.
He's doing something, probably yelling at Chuck E. Cheese the Rat.
I think we all agree
he's
that
talking
Trump
about Pizza Rat.
Is a historical anomaly that wasn't really meant to happen. And there's discussion that Alex and Mr. Stone, Roger Stone, had about basically street fighting tactics versus long-term strategy.
Hadouken!
I want to say that this guy is a very valid question.
And so my question for Roger Stone and for Alex Jones are, outside of street fighting tactics, outside of short-term street fighting kind of guerrilla tactics, what's the long game? And who has the long game? And I'm talking 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And I'd like to throw in one more caveat to that.
Is that a question for me?
It's a question for both of you. But
listen,
wait, can I
I'll
finish, sir, please? Can you also include in that, how do you work with institutional Christian organizations in your long game?
Now, I'm going to give you a chance.
I don't like the second part of that question.
I'm going to give you a chance to gamble.
Yes.
Do you think Alex has a decent answer to this question?
Well, to boil this question down, the question is essentially, can you actually govern a country?
What is your idea?
Right.
That's
right. How do you do? So you guys have taken over. Right. Ostensibly, you're winning
through street fighting.
Yep. You threw a couple uppercuts. You threw some Hadoukens in there. Now
Sonic
we're good.
Boom.
Right. How do you govern and what's your plan?
Mm-hmm.
Also, Christ. So I assume Alex's response to that is no, we can't. And huh?
The second part of the question is based on Alex Jones's rampant distrust of the church.
Catholics.
Well, not just the Catholics. All the glitter bug
churches
and
stuff like that.
He has a very strong distrust of any Christian organization that's not patriot.
The first and of a very few reasonable positions that he still maintains.
So your prediction is pretty accurate. He doesn't really have a good answer.
Sure.
Thank you.
Believe in the American people. I believe in humanity.
Not an answer.
And so I'm just putting the facts out and hope people take action.
Not an answer.
We are in a fight for this country's future.
Just doing
We're
a bit.
We're fighting against the globalists that have bet on China.
Still not an
answer. So I'm simply here trying to believe in you and hope that you take action.
Not an answer.
My long game is just to tell the truth and promote Americana and free market and what has made humanity great. That's all I'm doing. It's nothing original. I'm trying to reboot America.
This is just catchphrases.
So
white nationalism is not original. I will give him that.
I think it is just being individuals, telling the truth, exposing what's happening, not being intimidated, and taking action. So I think it's a great question you asked, but the answer is really simple. There's no big establishment group that's going to save us. It's us individually taking action. That's my answer.
That's not an answer. That's nothing.
If your answer is there's no way to govern, so nah, that's a bad answer.
It's just, I mean, he just is rattling off his catchphrases. He might as well have yelled 1776 2.0 in
right.
there. It wouldn't have been out of place in that string of bullshit.
But ultimately what he said at the end there was, there's no organization that is going to help us.
I kind
which
of agree
is,
with that.
Well, I mean, if you consider the government an organization, then you are essentially advocating for complete and utter chaos.
That's anarchy there, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, I think what he's just saying is take to the streets. I don't know.
That's a
you know what
great
it is?
Question.
You know what it is?
And I'm going to not answer it because that is a hard question to answer.
It's a non-answer because he has no grasp on policy. So he can't answer questions of like, well, here's what we would like to see.
Here
are the initiatives that we would like to push for. He doesn't address the idea of like, how are you going to involve Christian organizations at all? Even,
no, why would you?
In that
answer, that's actually a terrible question.
All he's saying is, I believe in humanity, which means nothing. I believe, that I can just do what I'm doing and you do your thing. What I'm going to do is keep telling the truth, which you're not. I'm going to keep exposing things, which is code for I'm going to be a white supremacist on air and repeat Russian talking points.
Right.
And I don't, it's just not an answer. But
do you know what? That is a great question, though, and one that I can't see either, I can't see really any group answering coherently.
What?
Right? Like, do the Democrats have a 30-year plan?
I think if you talk to some people, the Republicans absolutely don't. I think if you talk to some people on the left that have a much more coherent grasp on
it. Oh, absolutely.
No, but if you talk to the mainstream, no, I think actually you could talk to conservatives or liberals that would, even middle of the road, would have a much better answer.
I disagree. I think their answers would be stupid.
They wouldn't be nothing.
I actually think they would be nothing.
Maybe
if you try and pin down any one of these fuck faces, they're not going to give a solid, consistent answer to, like, here's how we survive the next 30 years.
Look, you're getting into hypotheticals here, and what's more important is that Alex Jones's answer was terrible.
True.
But Roger Stone's answer is worse.
Oh, no.
There's one action that every one of you can take every single day. And it may seem small, but it isn't. When you see a link of a story or a video on InfoWars or Daily Quote or Breitbart or anywhere, it spreads the story of freedom. When you see a story that catches your fancy and is an area in which you're interested, take that link and post it to your social media. Because you see, they can censor us, but they can't censor all of us.
Nope.
That's the 30-year plan.
You become
my 30-year plan is
one.
More Facebook shares.
You become a warrior, an info warrior. Take our links and spread them. It's cut, paste, 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 paste until your hands hurt.
So like control C or control X? What are we doing?
We're trying to take the country into slavery. Either fight or become slaves. It's your choice.
Alex screams drunkenly from the back of the room.
That is also my 30-year plan. Either fight or become slaves.
Yeah.
That's a great 30-year plan.
I mean, Roger Stone's answer to the question is, help us spread propaganda.
Yeah, essentially.
It's nonsense. That's not
And not
help.
Even in a functional way. In like a, hey, share our link on Twitter, share it on Facebook. That's us plugging the Twitter, at the end of the show. Like, you can follow us on @InfoWars. You can follow us at @RealAlexJones.
Smash those like buttons.
Retweet. Yeah. We need more retweets. Our 30-year plan is 1,000 retweets per.
So
awful.
At this point, Millie Weaver comes back and, if you thought she was lying about Charlottesville, get a load of this vaccine bullshit.
Oh, where
I have one thing to say about vaccines. You know, I had the opportunity recently to speak with some Amish communities out in Ohio. Wouldn't you believe it that the Amish have almost no incidences of autism? In fact, statistically, their rates of autism are almost non-existent. Can you guess why? I mean, yeah, it turns out the Amish do not vaccinate their children. I mean, that kind of really sums it up right there. But anyway, let's go on to more questions.
So I grew up Mennonite, which is not Amish, but it's sort of close.
Amish adjacent.
Yeah.
Did you know that there are no gay people in Saudi Arabia, too? It's super weird how that works.
Yeah,
it's probably because they don't have vaccines there.
That's why it's really shitty that the WWE is going over there to do a huge fucking Royal Rumble.
At least it's not Qatar.
They won't let women...
or Qatar.
They won't let women perform, so there's no women's matches in their WWE event.
Great.
It's very
great.
Shameful.
Hey, capitulating to dumbass foreign governments is a great idea.
Very disgraceful.
Get into that market, Dan.
Good paycheck. But so what Millie Weaver is talking about here is utter horseshit. What she's doing is she's operating off a 2005 story that was this guy named Dan Olmsted did a non-scientific survey of an Amish community in Pennsylvania. It's a very large one in Lancaster. It's one of the biggest in the world.
Uh-huh.
He claimed that he could only find 3 autistic kids and that 2 out of the 3 of them had been vaccinated, and implied that that was a very uncommon thing in the Amish community. It was not a study. It's apocryphal. These are just stories that he's relating. And the anti-vaccination people have clung to it like it's the Holy Grail, the proof that vaccines cause autism. Unfortunately, a 2011 study, in the magazine, the journal Pediatrics showed that 68% of Amish people had their children vaccinated, which is lower than the national average, but it's still, a majority by far. Also, in a 2010 presentation to the International Society of Autism Research, researchers from the University of Miami and the University of Vanderbilt discussed their research into autism in the Amish community based on interviews with 1,899 individuals in multiple communities. They found a rate of approximately...
Could have found one more.
Yeah, I know. They found a rate of approximately 1 in 271 children displaying autistic indicators. Also, there's a clinic called the Clinic for Special Children in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, that is specifically for the developmental disorders in Amish children, which would not exist if those didn't exist. The main reason that suggested for why rates are lower the diagnosis of Amish communities is that they don't want to have the stigma. There's a diagnosis bias.
Right.
In Amish communities. Also, a very...
Just like how people say that the diagnosis of autism has exploded and nobody understands why. And it's like, well, if you go back historically,
bias.
They put people in fucking institutions.
Further, because the populations are so insulated in Amish communities, there's a much lower genetic diversity in play, which reduces the risk of certain diseases and elevates those of certain others. It's not entirely clear why autism would be one of them, but it turns out that that's one that has a much lower incidence in less genetically diverse populations. So, Millie.
Oh, we're bringing it back!
Who's that at the door? Is that Rainbow Snatch?
I don't know. Is that Rainbow Snatch?
Hello. You busted.
Is that your Bernie?
No, I don't know. That was for the chat room.
All right.
So Millie Weaver's just going based on an apocryphal story in 2005 that got traction in anti-vaccination communities. But also there have been a ton of studies that have shown...
Those stories always get traction and the debunking
never does. Just ignore that stuff, even though it's in peer-reviewed studies. So at this point, Rob Dew gets on the mic. Everyone had forgotten he still exists. He shows up on the mic. He says some really weird stuff. One of the things I like to hear is that the bar is free. There's an open bar at
now
this
that's
event.
That's a good event.
But then he says something else that's really weird.
I'm just gonna make a quick, hey, how's it going? I'm gonna make a quick announcement. We're gonna go till about 6:15 doing this, and we have the room till 7, so I think what we should do then is just hang out and mingle. Woo! Open bar.
Hang out! Listen!
Yeah. I will say this though. If somebody asks a question and somebody out there knows the answer, they should come up and answer it because this is what it's all about. It's not about Jack doesn't have all the answers.
It's because Alex is too drunk to get back on stage.
Yeah.
I don't have all the answers. Millie doesn't. Well, Jack has all the answers.
Yeah.
But you know, together, that's how networks are formed. Neural networks. We're a little neural network in here. So let's all, if you think you know the answer to something or have your own perspective, keep it short, but come on up and jump on up. Yeah, that's what it's all about. It's about participation, about getting in the game. So we welcome your questions. We'll go till about 6:15, and then let's just hang out and, you know.
We have a DJ who's going to play Electric Slide.
I don't know what's in it, but it's good.
They have Jungle Juice at the back.
Yep.
I don't know what's in that punch, but, man, it's good. Woo! Rob Dew, baby.
Our free bar is essentially Everclear mixed with
Lemonade mix. Oh, those parties. Terrible. Terrible in my past.
He stole some margarita mix from my parents, so we're going to have a good time tonight.
Jordan!
Yeah!
They should have stopped at 6 instead of 6:15.
What happens at 6:15?
They take a question.
Oh, no!
And now I have a few things I need to say about this.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why, but at some point, right before this guy asks his question, the audio starts going fucking terrible. This is going to sound like shit, and I apologize in advance. But I will say, I tried to hunt down alternate versions of the audio. There is nothing that doesn't have this glitch in it. It's worth it for what ends up happening. I tried to fix it. I could not fix it. It would have taken me like 6 hours to go through and fix all the audio.
Yeah.
So I apologize for subjecting your ears to this, but I wouldn't do it if it weren't one of the fucking craziest things. And when we get to what ends up happening, which I am not going to spoil at all, you cannot imagine the look on Millie Weaver's face.
Okay.
And like, why the fuck isn't Alex here helping me with this? This is not cool. So here is the guy. His name is True Dave. He decides to...
Nope.
But...
Nope.
He's a genius. He knows how to start
True Dave.
Yeah. He knows how to start out a question with a plug.
Strangely enough, he's a fake leftist.
Hey, so let's go to this gentleman right here.
Yes. Good afternoon, everyone. Good evening. Yes. Let's give ourselves all a big round of applause for having the courage to come forward and to dine with the infamous Roger Stone and what's his name? Alex Jones, that's right, yes.
So far, in case people aren't making it out, what he said
nice little dig.
Let's give ourselves a round of applause for being courageous enough to come out and
dine with the infamous Roger Stone and what's his name?
Alex Jones.
Oh, Alex Jones.
He's doing a bit.
It's Alex Jones. We won't forget you, Doctor. You're also very important. My name is True Dave. I am a longtime listener of InfoWars and a first-time caller. I'm a patriot of 6,000 points.
I love you.
So I encourage you to buy from the store. They are excellent, excellent health products. You can actually stop paying your health insurance and invest in the health store, the info store.
So, you know, he gets it. He gets it. Don't pay your health insurance. Just buy Alex Jones's products. Yeah. No, but he knows.
You know what? I mean, it should be a national Alex Jones's healthcare system.
That's a damn ad pivot in a press conference.
I love it.
That's amazing.
I love it.
Yeah.
Who is this fucking guy? Oh, True Dave?
We're going to learn so much about him in this next clip.
I have a question, but I need to preface my question. One might say that the longest government that we know of on the face of the planet is the Christian government.
No!
And at the center of this government is a man. And you know his name is Jesus.
So, to recap, what he said so far is that the longest running government in the world is a Christian government. At the center of it is a man named Jesus.
Now, he gets his props, but I'm going to go a little deeper.
What? Jesus gets his props, but I'm going to go a little deeper.
Well, yeah, you gotta.
That's wild. That's nuts.
As Christians, which InfoWars is professing to be a Christian channel, and we study the Bible.
Does it?
The book of Revelation clearly talks about the end times. And we are clearly in the end times. So what is it that we must be looking for at the end times? That's one point.
Dragons?
Two, Christ is the focus.
So he's asserting very clearly that we are in the end times. What should we be looking for? Christ is the focus.
Well, the problem I have is he prefaces that with two, as though everyone already knows what we should be looking for.
Right.
Two, Christ is the focus.
Yeah.
I don't know what we should be looking for.
No.
And even Revelation scholars really don't know what we should be looking for.
You have no idea where this
other
is going.
Other than that it already happened and it was a metaphor for Rome.
You have no idea where this is coming. Okay. Going. Also, to the chat room, I appreciate everyone suggesting how this audio could be fixed.
It's a little late.
Trust me.
It's a little late.
No, everyone is saying, like, yeah, you probably can't fix this.
Oh, okay.
And maybe there is some, like, really, really long way to do it just manually, but...
Well...
Such a mess.
All I know is that the second thing, after you fix that audio, look to Christ.
Right. And again, I think this is as good a time as any to bring out. Like, I took this audio straight from Alex Jones's YouTube channel. He put this out like this.
Oh, yeah. No.
So that's on him.
You texted me earlier, and it was like, I've been working on this, and every time I make an adjustment, it sounds like everybody's talking. Blah, blah, blah.
They're talking fast motion when I cut out the little blanks in audio and just, ugh. Either way, it's going to hurt the ears.
If we do not understand that the Lord of the Second Advent has returned to this earth, who assisted Nixon, who assisted Reagan, who created the Washington Times that Alex Jones quoted every day since he started in Austin, Texas, if we don't come to understand that this Christ has left his sons of this earth to guide us to the future, because the Bible clearly says we will be in the reign of 1,000 years. And I'm here to witness. I'm a living witness that Christ has come. His name is Sun Myung Moon, and he has done incredible work.
Wait, what?
Wait, I don't have free speech.
What?
Well, then you have your opportunity to... he's not Jesus, but... I want to say this very clearly.
What is your question?
Millie Weaver just standing on stage so scared, like, what?
Wait.
What?
Who is Christ rebirthed as?
Sun Myung Moon.
Sun Myung Moon. Wait, hold on. Sun Myung Moon?
Yep.
So this guy.
That's pretty impressive.
This guy went to Alex Jones's after party.
Yep.
And was like, now's my time to let everybody know I already know who Christ is.
And he did it perfectly. He got everyone behind him by doing a plug.
These are great products. These are great products. You're going to love it. First off, we know we're in the end times.
Even before that, you do the plug. talk about. I've listened to Alex Jones for a long time. I'm an InfoWarrior from way back.
Huge InfoWarrior.
I love all this. Look,
it's a Christian organization.
A Christian. I believe in Jesus, all this. And then he fucking Trojan horses in Sun Young Moon is the Christ. They are so confused. They have no idea what to do.
I love the part where he's like, now let me finish.
Right.
I have First Amendment rights too.
No, he's not mad. He's
no,
confused.
I know, but you hear it in his voice, like, just like, no, I have First Amendment rights. I get to say
he's
this crazy bullshit.
He's confused because Alex Jones' whole thing is about how his First Amendment rights are being encroached on. And now we started the episode with him trying to kick out what might have been Jordan Klepper from his event and then saying, we'll let you on stage. He never does. And now we end with a Mooney who's asking a question. And then you can see, like, it's just shadows because it's people's heads. It's the back of people's heads in an auditorium. But you can see someone came over and is talking to him like, dude, stop. Like, you. No.
Wait, hold on. Hold on one second. We are crazy.
This is getting.
But that.
No.
Is fucking crazy.
No, it's because it's getting too real. Like, not because Sun Young Moon is Christ, but because Sun Young Moon did make the Washington Times, and the Washington Times is a load of shit journal publication that spouts the same narratives that Alex does, and he does use them as a source a lot. And Sun Young Moon is related to a lot of funding.
Do you mean Jesus?
No, I mean Sun Young Moon.
Are you sure he's
cult
not related?
Leader of the Unification Church.
What we know is that Christ's sons are coming.
Sun Young Moon is related to a lot of funding of conservative organizations and think tanks.
And Christ.
Right. So there's a lot of connection between the narratives that Alex Jones puts out into the world and Sun Young Moon funding. And so this guy is crazy. But at the same time, he's not crazy in thinking that Alex should be on the same page as him.
No, of course not.
Because if you listen to Alex for a really long time and you're like, your focal point was Sun Young Moon and the Washington Times, it would make perfect sense to you that, like, Alex gets it.
Yeah.
Alex is, he knows.
Right.
He knows. Look, Sun Young Moon was super behind Nixon and Reagan. Alex seems to like those guys. I think he's my guy.
I love it.
It's very nuts.
I legit thought he was coming to Roger Stone as being like, he was behind Nixon. He was behind Reagan. He was doing the whole thing. And I was like,
oh, that too.
This is when we bring in Roger Stone. And then he threw the curveball of Sun Young Moon. Love it.
Which actually introduces the question of, does Roger Stone have any relation with Sun Young Moon, given the two of them have had parallel tracks through conservative
history?
Have they
ever been in the same room together?
I don't know.
I want to find out that Sun Young Moon is a white dude, right?
No, he was Korean.
Yeah, but was he a white dude?
I don't think so.
Did he get the Christ surgery? You know, that's Christ was Jewish and then he became white. That's why all the Italian...
So I want to say we have one more clip. It's 2 minutes long of him, but I don't think it's worth it because he just rambles more about Christ.
I think we got to close on Sun Young Moon, man.
That's
a solid closer.
It's really funny to me, the rest of it. And you can go you can watch the whole video if you want over on Alex's channel. But he keeps being like, you guys are trying to get me to not say this stuff. There are moments like that are really funny.
His genuine surprise is great.
Yeah. So there's that. But anyway, Alex had he got soy bombed by a Mooney.
Love it.
Which is going to be my punk band.
Soy bombed by a Mooney?
Yeah. I don't know. This has been a really interesting thing because everyone.
This took a lot of twists and turns that I wasn't expecting.
Everyone wanted us to talk about the press conference. And
this is way fucking better.
This is much more interesting.
Weird ass drunk them all doing weird ass shit.
But
I love it.
I don't think all of them are drunk though. I don't think Jack Posobiec goes out in public drunk.
No. And Millie is clearly doing her best.
Yeah. She is
dreaming of better things that she does.
She knows
this.
She has heavy lifting to do.
Yeah.
Maybe Corsi's drunk. I can't tell with his fucking. I don't know. I can't do it anymore. I've got no more metaphors for a soggy, just cadaver. just a cadaver in a bog. Just a fucking lake full of whiskey that is
pale skin and his blue lips, his fucking tiny little fucking mushy hands.
You ever knock out a chubby old bitch and throw him in a river of whiskey? That's what Corsi fucking looks like. Fucking dick. That guy sucks.
Oh, God damn it.
He might have been drunk.
That's, I love this.
That's what I was getting at. Roger Stone's not drunk. He's just doing his best.
Roger Stone is just bananas.
I don't know, man. I think that what you look at when you look at the totality of this is you see, I think the major points I want to take away is this has all of the flavor of a white nationalist Nazi rally. That is a failure because the audience is not very interested.
Yeah.
They're a very low energy audience. As,
it'd be fun if they were all Moonies.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
That'd be amazing.
If they were all behind him.
Yeah, exactly.
If True Dave got like, True Dave, True Dave. That'd be crazy.
True Dave SA! True Dave SA!
Yeah, a better chant than Pasoba could get going. So that's one point. And then the other point is I really think that Alex is trying to get, Soros to sue him. And it's really funny to me because that's never going to happen.
No.
It's never going to happen.
There's no win.
No.
There's no win.
It's a pointless act.
Yeah.
You can just keep slandering him and it doesn't matter. Because why would it matter?
What I find interesting about this is that
the only thing that will get Soros to sue him is if one of Alex's fans kills his son. Which I think is a remote possibility as things deteriorate. I think it's...
Or Putin might do it.
It's possible.
I think the thing that I find interesting about the coverage of the press conference and the lack of coverage about this bananas nonsense.
Yeah.
Is that every time we see this type of coverage from Right Wing Watch or Media Matters.
Well, like a year ago, it was the same thing with the, go fuck yourself Adam Schiff thing.
Right.
And then later in the episode, he's,
but
tell
what
me how to learn.
What it seems like to me is that they always cover Alex at his strongest. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they always cover Alex doing the most Alex.
No.
Instead of covering Alex at his weakest when he gives up the game.
It's this strong, embarrassing version. Because
right.
kissing the flag and stuff like that is embarrassing.
Right.
But it still works into the narrative of his mythology.
His embarrassment is his strength. Like, his inability, his complete lack of ability to feel shame, just like Trump. It's the lack of shame. It's the complete misunderstanding of what it's like to be another rational human being.
Like, imagine
is what makes them so powerful.
Imagine if the headlines were Alex Jones promotes 2-hour Q&A session, too drunk to follow through.
Yeah.
So his buddies have a nationalist rally.
Yeah.
A white nationalist rally.
Right.
Because that's the reality of what we saw here.
Every time
he was too drunk.
He
was too drunk at the wheel. So Lee Stranahan came up on stage and, you know, piggybacked some anti-Soros hate.
Right.
And Jack Posobiec expressed, "I don't want white kids being adopted to Chinese people."
Or just like Jerome Corsi allowed to speak. Like that's a worthy headline as well.
Oh God.
Mm. Oh man.
Mm.
Anyways,
there's someone who I wish was a non. Be fucking Jerome Corsi. If he was in the queue to be Anon, you know, like the line with in England, they call it a queue.
I know what a queue is.
All right.
Come on, man.
I hate that guy. Anyway, that brings us to the end of this episode. I wish folks would do a better job of covering, this sort of thing, cause it's much, you're
this
right. It's
bananas.
Much more embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's much more potent. Anyway, thank you all for listening.
I think it's very obvious, what's gonna happen at the end of this, but first off, if you would like to follow us on Twitter.
We're at knowledge_fight. Also, our website is knowledgefight.com.
If you want to join a specific group with a long name that you're going to have to stop, pause, listen to the next words I say.
Go home and tell your mother you're brilliant.
Hit the 15-second button on your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
It's go home and tell your mother you're brilliant on mm-hmm. Facebook.
Right, we're also just on Facebook if you want to find our.
Yeah.
But I don't post much there. It's mostly about the group these days.
Yeah.
The page is kind of, you know what I've realized?
We like positive reinforcement way too much.
It's not even that. It's engagement. Like, the way that Facebook works, more people see stuff in the group than if I posted it on the page.
That's a good point.
And so I realize, what's the fucking point of the page? I want to just post something on the page, just like join the group.
Yeah.
I'm not going to post anything over here anymore. Who gives a shit?
Maybe that should be your Twitter, whatever thing is, your posted tweet.
Thank everyone so much. We're just over 200 people in the group now.
I can't
believe
that.
That's
crazy. I kind of don't believe 200 people listen to this.
Nah, well, they do. More than that. Anyway.
Fantastic.
Thank you all so much.
Yes, thank you guys.
You're also on iTunes.
So much.
Subscribe.
Find us on iTunes.
We had to get out of here, but, someone must be told, their business.
I think we all know who.
There's someone who's gotten too much of a rubbing on this episode, so I'm going to give him a break. And I'm going to say Lucian Wintrick.
God damn it, Dan!
No, I'm kidding.
Come on.
Lee Stranahan, go fuck
God
yourself.
God damn it!
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
That's what we call a double...